Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome. It is Wednesday, the fourth day of May 2011. We have another incredibly jam-packed, important broadcast for you. Obviously, we have Dr. Steve Pachinik joining us for a full hour again today to continue to break down the huge bombshells that he was dropping on us. He is the co-author and advisor to most of the best-selling Tom Clancy books, the producer at IMDb of films like NetForce and many other big, huge Hollywood productions. He worked under five presidents, under three Secretary of States. He overthrew governments. He helped basically disappear, reportedly, any chance of the Italian prime minister being released by the communist. I've been doing more research on him. I mean, he's more than what he was even saying here on the air. And a very interesting individual, obviously, who told us 9 years ago that Bin Laden was on ice, had died of renal failure. I looked up people who have the type of renal failure and the disease that Bin Laden has online, and generally, after you have it, you don't live more than 5 years. Well, he had this back in the mid-1990s, reportedly. We're to believe now, all these years later, 15, 16 years later, he survived renal failure, complete renal failure. And of course, Dr. Pachinik is a board examiner psychiatrist, which is a medical doctor, and he has another medical degree as well. He, of course, was the director under several presidents of the development of psychological warfare operations. And it's going to be very informative to have him back on today to analyze. I mean, he said, look at this staged event, look at the stink of it. And then he went over how it was staged. And anybody who studies this can look at the rollout, the packaging, the scripting, the disinfo, and you know it's fake. It's like when you're watching a sitcom, you know it's acting, you know it's not real. So just at a gut level, you know it's a fraud, but then you have a whole history of lies and dissembling and deception and spinning, and you have all the political payoffs that are supposedly coming out of this, the selling of torture, wars, secret arrest, the 9/11 fable that is the catalyzing event that was designed to shift our society into a high-tech police state. So we're going to be breaking that down as well. Lord Monckton, who's standing for a member of the Parliament in Scotland, will be joining us for about 30 minutes today. We'll also go into overdrive, into the fourth hour with Doctor of History Webster Griffin Tarpley, who is concurring with our analysis that this is meant to basically bolster Obama's approval rating, sell the police state, but also start menacing Pakistan. The Pakistanis are putting out today what Paul Watson put out yesterday and what Kurt put out yesterday, that forget Pakistan, the U.S. government knew basically everything going on inside of Pakistan. In fact, that's from yesterday's news. Will you guys do me a favor, go into the featured news archive and get Kurt's article from yesterday morning about forget Pakistan, you know, U.S. government knew. And then Watson's article about if the Pakistanis knew Bin Laden was there, then our government would know. Well, obviously they did. And now it's in Fox News and a bunch of other papers. Pakistan warned about Compound in 2009. If you believe that, this is all just them debating the false story, the little elements of it to make it look like it's real. Like, oh, there's some things that are wrong, but overall, he was just killed last Sunday. We're going to break it all down today. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Yesterday was probably one of the most important broadcasts in 16-plus years on air I have ever done. And today, it looks like maybe even more important. We are seeing a battle for the hearts and minds of the people of the world. We are witnessing a complete turnaround, a complete blow-up in the face of the globalist PSYOP disinformation operatives. As I monitored radio and TV, especially talk radio, as I monitored foreign news last night and this morning, I got up at 5 a.m., almost 70% or so of the callers, in fact, it may have been more, I was going through all the different channels, are calling in, liberal, conservative, doesn't matter, saying they don't believe this story. They want to see the body. They don't believe photos, but they think it's even more suspicious they won't release photos. And the White House is having to come out. Boehner, the Speaker of the House, is having to come out and say that he doesn't need to see a photo, and he believes the president. And they're trying to fall back on the Navy SEALs and saying why they even had a German Shepherd with them. Spot the German Shepherd. And you don't like German Shepherds if you don't believe us. And you hate the military. Well, and I was on Inside Edition this morning. They did a satellite taping for 15 minutes. Probably try to edit it down to 1 minute of discrediting information. They were very frustrated because they couldn't get me to trip up with their sophomoric questions. And they were saying, oh, you don't believe the story. You don't like our Navy SEALs. It was just so sophomoric. Well, they're saying it's the Red Cell or SEAL Team 6 that's kept secret from the rest of the SEAL teams and itself is a sheep-dipping arm to create groups outside of SEALs, outside of Delta Force, that are basically quasi-governmental CIA black op teams. It goes way above SEAL Team 6, way above Delta Force. Delta Force itself is another sheep-dipping operation from SEALs, Marine Force Recon, Army Green Berets. And this is all on record. It's just the details are classified. And so most of the people in SEAL Team 6 are, of course, I'm sure being fed that, oh, someone in another unit in a subgroup of six did this. And they're telling, you know, the SEALs aren't going to talk. And no one can ever know who the SEALs are because folks will try to target them on and on and on. So we're going to talk to one of the most senior directors of black operations, someone who developed many of the modern techniques of psychological warfare, assassination raids, government overthrows, Dr. Steve Pachinik. You'll notice when he's on with us, streaming at PrisonPlanet.tv, not from the radio, you won't be seeing his photograph because obviously no one has his photograph. That's why up at Infowars.com in the guest description, we have Jack Ryan, Harrison Ford from Patriot Games. Because Mr. Pachinik is the co-author of many of the books with Tom Clancy on record. And Clancy's on record that Pachinik is the character Jack Ryan and others that are composites in the films. And so he's Jack Ryan. I mean, how surreal is this? The real-life Jack Ryan. I mean, the guy that makes the CIA operative bear look like a schoolboy with all the things he's been in. They make movies about, you know, Bear Siriana. He is on the air telling us that Cheney, Bush, and the rest of them carried out 9/11 on record. He was on record 9 years ago and a month telling us he was on ice to be rolled out later. And now it's coming out in the news that the entire official story is filled with lies because they can't get their story straight. And that itself is a classic PSYOP where if they know there's big doubt, they start admitting problems with the official story because people subconsciously then tend to accept the larger narrative and then debate the inconsistencies that are put out on purpose. And I believe that's what's happening. But regardless, it is a huge impossible lie. And we're going to talk to Dr. Pechenik. Of course, he's a psychiatrist. He, I think, runs psychological warfare. I mean, he wrote many of the modern books on it. And I'd done research on him 9 years ago when he first came on. I'd done more research. Did about an hour last night. And, I mean, it was just chock full of stuff like this. London Telegraph, U.S. envoy admits role in Aldo Moro killing. That was the Italian prime minister. And at the end of the article, they go, well, the Italian government's now admitted it's true. Steve Pechenik. The role in killing the Italian prime minister. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. How high-powered this guy is behind the scenes under these secretaries of state, you know, at a level above your normal black ops. And, you know, 9 years ago, I said, why are you doing this? Yesterday, I said, why are you doing it? And I said, let me guess. Because you understand America's going down the tubes, collapsing, being robbed blind, and that it's all being done on the foundation of the fraud of 9/11. He said, absolutely. Because everything, when I was on Inside Edition this morning, and I knew the questions before I got them, because it's all just a formulaic system to target the public. No one believes what you're saying. You're a kook. You're alone. You're a minority. Thinking that weak-minded people listening to that will think, well, I want to be with the majority and with what's safe and what is accepted, that the world is flat, the moon is made of cheese, the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus are real. Then they went on and said, you are insulting the Navy SEALs. Because they create that obsession with the military, that psychological fetish to worship the military. But then you're actually not even supporting the military. You support whatever the globalists say is the policy, and then they wrap the military and the flag around it. So it's like a donkey following a carrot tied at the front of its, you know, head. And so they hit me with that, and then they said, oh, you think everything's a conspiracy, 9/11, and now this. Well, this is part of the 9/11 narrative. This is part of the overall hoax. I mean, it's not just Madeleine Albright, Pakistani former president, Benazir Bhutto, well, killed at the time she was president, coming out saying they'd killed bin Laden years before he was dead. It's not just Sybil Evans, the FBI translator, saying that the CIA was running al-Qaeda. It's not just of the four new al-Qaeda leaders, three of them born in the U.S., trained in the U.S., caught at U.S. military bases, caught being funded, caught being protected, as Dr. Pechenik told you. But they're caught. They hide it in plain view, Fox News, AP, that Alaki and Gadan are admitted U.S. government agents. And they go out and they find mentally ill people like the psychiatrist from Hood, Hassan, and the underwear bomber who we had the eyewitnesses a month and a half before. We forced the State Department to come out and admit, yes, an unnamed agency helped us get him on the plane. We were ordered to give him a visa and then get him on the plane. And the witnesses I've talked to on air, breaking it here, said the guy looked like he was drugged out of his mind, a drugged out little black kid. I mean, they could drug me up, give me some electroshock therapy for a month or two, and roll me onto a plane, just out of my gourd, not even knowing who I am, with a firecracker going off in my pants, and then the whole country has to have the government stick their hands down our pants because of it. I mean, it's just sophomoric psyops that a two-year-old should be able to figure out. I'm going to say it again before I run through the whole cornucopia of news here, because the whole myth is imploding. I'm going to say it right here, okay? And I've got Watson and Steve Watson and Nimmo and Aaron Dykes all doing their own reports on this, but I want to remind you, for those of you out there saying they wouldn't lie to us, how many times has government been caught lying? Fake photos, fake documents, WMDs, Gulf of Tonkin, on and on and on. How many times? But let's take military examples. Pat Tillman, NFL star, his brother's in the Army. He wants to go join it, the Rangers. He gets in. He's in Afghanistan, 6 months. He starts writing letters home to family saying this whole war is a fraud. We're not after anybody. It's all about opium. When I come home, I'm going to be against this war. You think they're going to let their billion-dollar boy, I mean, that guy gave him total entree to recruit young, you know, well-meaning people into this meat grinder, to this globalist army. And they said, oh, he charged a hill, taking heavy fire. He jumped the rocks, took out Al-Qaeda troops, was shot, grabbed his knife. He was stabbing them. What a great warrior. He's Rambo. Kids join and just parades and sadness. And I mean, they said, you're going to try to have a propaganda coup against us leaving because you're honorable? We're going to kill you and squeeze even more out of you. Well, there was a problem. The army doctors would not lie on their reports, and they said they said he was clearly murdered. He was shot at a distance. The first rounds, you can read the report, it's public now. For years, they denied it and called it conspiracy theories, even when the family came out and said he was murdered. Remember, oh, it's ridiculous, putting down our Rangers, you anti-military trash. How dare you, when Pat went up that hill to fight Al-Qaeda. How dare you say we're lying? And the army doctors, later we learn, who did the autopsy, said he was shot. It looked like from about 60, 70 yards. They can tell by how the bullets went in, how much damage the 223s caused. Then later it came out from people that were in the unit. They shoot him. They start shooting. He's waving, hey, I'm U.S. forces. They shoot him, knock him down behind a boulder. They walk right up, and at about a yard and a half, triple place, three bullets, right across the eye line, right into the cerebral cortex. And now we learn there were special units assigned to them that day. Special units. Didn't have their patches on, didn't identify. They were there helping. Probably a SEAL team or Delta team or some of these private contractors that have been sheep-dipped out of those groups into the even larger private Merc armies, who are made up of Delta, Marine Force Recon, Navy SEALs. There's vast pools of these people. Okay, those are the black armies. See, in black ops, in darkness, there's wheels within wheels. So you think Delta and SEAL Team 6 are the creme de la creme, tip of the spear? They're just one group that hasn't been brought fully over to total dark side yet. Anyways, they murdered Pat Tillman. We'll finish up with that.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Farrah. I've never been with anything less than a 9, so fine. I've been on fire with Sally Field, gone fast with a girl named Bo. But somehow they just don't end up as mine. It's a death-defying life I lead. I take my chances. I'd die for a living in the movies and TV. But the hardest thing I ever do is watch my leading ladies kiss some other guy while I'm bandaging my knee.
Monday through Friday,
I might fall from a tall building.
From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at least, we're going into overdrive today. We're here live. Finishing up with just two examples of how cold-blooded the disinformation of the military-industrial complex is. They murdered Pat Tillman, and it's on record, and they lied and said he was killed by Al-Qaeda. And then it was, oh, it was friendly fire. And no, then it was foul play. And you remember Private Jessica Lynch and the resupply convoy attacked by Republican Guard, and a bunch of the unit got killed, and some of them survived, and got taken to an Iraqi hospital, and then when the Iraqis pulled out because of U.S. forces that overtook the area, the doctors went to the checkpoint and said, hey, they're here. We like America, as many Iraqis do. Please come. And so they waited 3 days. They called Jerry Bruckheimer. This is BBC News, admitted this a year later. This is on record. And Bruckheimer advised the Pentagon via SAT connections how to script it. They already had folks at the hospital, and they pulled back out. And then they came in, kicked down the doors, beat people up, claimed they were defeating, you know, basically Al-Qaeda, still saying Saddam was with Al-Qaeda, the opposite group. And they went in, and she was hiding under the bed. And then they took her and put her on the news and said that she was on top, like Audie Murphy, on top of the trucks with the machine gun, just single-handedly. And then when they attacked her physically, got to her after they already wounded her, she was stabbing them with a K-barred knife. I mean, she was just G.I. Jane, Rambo, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Audie Murphy, all rolled into one. And it was, see, women can fight in combat. We need them front line. And it was just absolute PR stunt. and the book came out and the made-for-TV movies. And then some of the other unit survivors were getting mad, and they said, listen, our buddies died in there. She hid under the truck, which is, you know, what she did. We sat there fighting them off, and then you sat there and gave her the credit, and then five of them within a two-week period died in car wrecks or were found with their car pulled over in 1 inch of water dead or were double-tapped in the head having a barbecue in, what, Phoenix? It was in the news. It was like, oh, one of the people that was with Lynch, who, by the way, had been speaking out. They didn't mention that part, but that had been another news previous. He was at a barbecue party, and someone popped up over the back fence in a black uniform and mask and double-tapped him in the head. Just pop, pop, total precision, killed him. And so that's how America works. And because they did not want that big PR bonus. That was a valuable little item there coming out. And I went on air and I said, Lynch, you better get on air now. And you better tell folks this is all fake or they're going to kill you. And say, our dear little hero committed suicide. And she went public. I don't know if people listening here got a hold of her. But 3 days later, she was at a press conference saying none of it's true. They were going to murder her next. You better believe it. They'd have had a big Arlington Cemetery deal, and the president would have been there saying our battle-hardened goddesses of the Amazon rainforest, Wonder Woman. You know, we need a pure army of women. We've already got the women all working, paying us taxes now, so we can run your kids and take control of them in the public brainwashing camps, the big re-education centers. But we're going to get all the women in the military because they want that universal draft that Rangel and others have been pushing for, so you can be their Hessian mercs, and our women can be the camp women. Hookers, girls from the Civil War, I guess, back again. And oh, I could go on for hours. But see, in soundbite TV, Inside Edition can make little jokes and not let me talk about that and just go, it's so ridiculous, you don't believe the government. You're crazy. This guy doesn't just believe everything he's told. Yeah, I'm like an old bash that has seen many youngsters. When that purple worm gets thrown in or that top water bait is going along, and I'm like, boys, I've seen many of you bite into that. I'm telling you, that takes you up to another place where they do horrible things to you, and they're like, shut up, old-timer, you're a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to get that big old juicy worm. And you go and you bite into it, and the country continues to implode. Because it's fun to get ripped off. It's fun to get conned. It's cute to feel like you're approved of when you buy into the official narratives and fables. Now I'm going to do a full spectrum breakdown. I'm going to go through these headlines. And then I've got some other interesting little tidbits for you. We told you this was coming. I saw it this weekend on CNN. Experts, security checkpoints near soft targets may soon become the norm. A day is coming when we'll be patted down going into the grocery stores, malls, highway checkpoints, total Nazi Germany while the borders stay wide open and the government launches the terror.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, Dr. Steve Pachenik is joining us at about T-minus 30 minutes for part two. He'll be with us live of that incredible interview we did yesterday. That is one of the hottest news stories on the web. But along with that report, the fact that bin Laden was on ICE 2001, died right before 9/11, along with that key report, he also has gone public saying that he knows a top general who told him shortly after 9/11 that, yes, it was indeed a false flag inside job, that he had knowledge. And Dr. Pachenik is ready to go public to a federal grand jury right now. And he, of course, worked under five presidents, under three of the Secretary of States. He was the head of developing black ops psychological warfare programs. You can just search his name, if you're doubting me, Steve Pachenik, and you will see articles in the Associated Press, London Telegraph, you name it, about his exploits. Like this headline, U.S. envoy admits role in killing the Italian prime minister. But they did it by tricking the Red Brigades that had kidnapped him into getting rid of him. And now we'll see if that's accurate from what the London Telegraph says. The point is, this is the type of stuff you pull up when you start searching Pechenik. And boy, the media is really upset about this. This is some dangerous stuff we're doing here on air. I hope folks understand the magnitude of this frontal assault on the globalist disinformation. I mean, we're going right up the hill against these people. And this is blowing up in their face. It is a desperation move with the birth certificate last week. And on the heels of that, Obama showing us how tough he is. And this fable about bin Laden that now has more holes in it than a block of Swiss cheese. And I just want to go over some of these headlines, and I'll go into more detail on it. But he's going to be joining us. Then Lord Monckton pops in for 30 minutes. Then we go into overdrive into the fourth hour with Doctor of History Webster Griffin Tarpley, who concurs with our analysis. Yesterday we had my Major General or Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul on, former head of Pakistani intelligence, confirming and basically giving the same analysis as our guest, Steve Pechenik, Dr. Pechenik, and Dr. Tarpley. So we're going to be going over all of that today. Obviously, that was an amazing, amazing interview yesterday, and he graciously is going to be joining us again. I can't wait till this latest hoax is blown over, and hopefully they won't stage some false flags out of it. They're clearly trying to test balloon that right now to launch new wars and new domestic crackdowns. But after this is all blown over, if it does indeed, you notice things are just getting more and more hectic, more and more crazy. I have a feeling that's not going to happen, but I wish it would. Then I want to get Dr. Pechenik on for 2 hours someday to talk to the real Jack Ryan. Paul Watson has an article that is an absolute red alert, and I do want to make this a red link if it is not on Infowars.com. I noticed earlier it was not a red link, and it is not a red link now. I want to make top government insider bin Laden died in 2001. Marley or Matt, will you guys do that for me? Thank you. I asked Paul to, but I think he forgot. He's so busy. So top government insider bin Laden died in 2001. 911, a false flag. That article is an absolute maximum alert report to get out to everyone, and it has the full 2 hour interview with Dr. Pechenik posted under it. It is a maximum alert to get this information out to everyone. Okay, let me just do this, and I always say I'm going to do it, and I've never succeeded. I'm going to attempt to just read the headlines of the news I have here and then start going back into more detail on them. Experts, security checkpoints near soft targets maybe become the norm. CBS News New York announcing checkpoints on highways, roads, randomly schools, grocery stores, just total lockdown East German society. Just, that's always been TSA's plan. They've been training police nationwide under federal auxiliary control, the 10 FEMA governors. This is martial law. In fact, I know Dr. Pechenik has warned of that in some of his writings I was unaware of reading last night. We're going to bring that up to him. Martial law is a point I want to bring up to him. Because we're being eased into it. They're not going to call it martial law. But when you've got federally trained goons everywhere sticking their hands down your pants, you think you're not going to fly and get away with it from this? You think you're going to? No, this is going in everywhere. Okay, we've got that. Here it is. U.S. on alert for hastened plots. Zawahiri, who is again has a huge pedigree of being a British double agent, a SWAT with a 7-7, London Telegraph, MI6. All these guys, I mean, they're publicly known to hang out at U.S. and British bases 24-7. Hamas, founded by Israel, works for them. You heard Pechenik talk about that yesterday. I mean, folks, people don't get this. They're like, I don't understand. Have you heard about England where they got two grocery store chains that have over 90% of the business, and one color is orange, the other's green? You know, and it's owned by the same company. And they'll be across the street from each other. And one has better deals on this, other on that. They give you full spectrum dominance. They give you a false choice. They create the terrorists who then go out and they stage their deaths like they do special forces troops all the time. Long history of our government, sheep dipping people. I'm going to bring up sheep dipping with Pechenik. So many points, I'm writing notes on these. And then it actually makes him a martyr and causes more attacks. And they say, see, now we got to be on the streets of America because bin Laden was killed. The war on terror never ends. And then we get the internal training manuals. It's all for the American people. So they're really hyping the false flag and the nuke attacks and the rest of it here in the U.S. and other propaganda about hero dog helps snare Obama. So now if you're not for the fable, you hate the troops and you hate the dogs. And if you don't believe that Pat Tillman died charging Al-Qaeda, you hate Pat Tillman, even though it's on record they murdered him. Doesn't matter. It just feels good to buy the lie, doesn't it? And Jerry Bruckheimer did the Saving Private Lynch thing for you. So continuing with that information, it is in Fox News. It is also in the Associated Press. Pakistan is saying it warned about Compound in 2009 and specifically pointed it out, that they thought some chicanery was going on there. That's on record, they're saying. Well, it's like Hamid Ghul said, General Ghul said here yesterday, if you believe that Pakistan knew about this, then the U.S. had to know. They got spies everywhere, spies in the Pakistani military and ISI, double agents, CIA operative caught 3 weeks ago trying to give uranium reportedly to Taliban. I mean, this is all happening. To then blame it on the Pakistani government. They're gearing up for an attack on Pakistan, as Dr. Tarpley said months ago on the show. People know what they're talking about. They study this stuff. They live this stuff. I study it. I live it. I live it. I went to bed at 1 in the morning. I got up at 5 a.m. I live it. I pick up my laptop when I wake up. When I go and sit on the toilet when I wake up, folks, I'm reading. When I go to bed, I mean, I even sometimes, it's embarrassing. I sit there with a laptop out the door of the shower. I mean, it's just out of control. I'm plugged into this stuff constantly, and I know what I'm talking about, and I just see people who just buy the surface of whatever they're told. I mean, I get out of bed, boom, turn the computer on, boom, start researching, reading the legislation, reading the documents, studying the history, and it just means nothing to the invincibly ignorant. They're invincible with their love of being fools. And they're giving us all this background fables and soap operas to follow. Obama took 16 hours and slept on it if he was going to attack him. Obama 9 months ago knew he was there in the compound but didn't want to drop bombs on it. Even if you believe that, then it means they waited till closer to the election. He used his wife as a shield. Oh, that dastardly rat. Oh, he fought back with an AK-47. Oh, now he didn't. Oh, now his daughter, grabbed by Pakistani forces. There's no video of her. No one even knows who his daughter is. He's had dozens of different concubines and wives, at least 5 known wives. It's just all complete. Oh, but it's all over the news. Total proof. Like we'd hear over the last 9 years, new bin Laden tape, new bin Laden text. And it'd be at the bottom of the AP article. Well, it's unconfirmed. It was on a message board. And the CIA admits fake videos. But I'm getting emails saying, ooh, you've been proven wrong. His daughter's come out. What you going to do about that? Are you saying SEAL Team 6 is lying? Huh? SEAL Team 6, people in SEAL Team 6 don't even know who's in SEAL Team 6. It's just a made up pool of black ops. I tell you. What next you're going to tell me Pat Tillman didn't charge an Al-Qaeda bunker? There's still idiots that believe WMDs were in Iraq. And I think they might pull those out of a hat now. It's about saying it's nonpartisan. No one would have believed Bush finding WMDs. No one would have believed Bush bringing out the bin Laden, especially when Madeleine Albright, Teresa Hines Carey, this is all on record, and many others, Walter Cronkite came out after Pechenik, Dr. Pechenik, and said they got him on ice, they're going to roll him out. They had to back off. But see, now there's partisan differences. We can believe this now because Obama is different than Bush. Same defense secretary, same policy, same program, funded by the same Wall Street interest, voting together to get rid of Glass-Steagall, voting together for the bailout takeover. And I sit there on idiot radio programs and idiot TV shows with them laughing at me. Oh, yeah, Madeleine Albright said so on Fox. Yeah, Morton Kondracki. Do you want the date? No, you're lying. I was on national British radio last night, and this clear PSYOP guy called in. They were begging for disagreeing calls, saying they couldn't find him. And he calls in about 50 minutes into the interview. They finally got one. And he goes, no one believes you. No one is with you. No, you're just a conspiracy kook, and you're a radical. You know, you need to be arrested. And what's your proof? And I said, the CIA, May 25th, 2010, spy talk admitted that they created fake Bin Laden videos. Oh, yeah, because you say so on YouTube. See, you give them facts, they come back and laugh. I was on Tom Hartman's show last night on RT, and I've never seen, in fact, guys, try to dig it up off Hartman's YouTube channel or off RT if it's up there. Oh, they sent it to you. I want to play that with Tarpley later, because I've got to say that Tom Hartman is totally different than when he was on the radio. I mean, this guy's desperate to be noticed at RT to get an MSNBC job. I mean, you can tell. He would say, so, look at the kooks that think this. Let's cut to Alex. And he was making all these jokes, and I was giving him facts. And he'd go, what about Ayn Rand worshiping someone that chopped up children? And I said, what's that to do with Ayn Rand and chopping up children? Then he'd go, I bet you just love Glenn Beck, don't you? You 9/11 truther, since he's a 9/11 truther. Of course, he's the big arrest 9/11 truthers, 9/12, remember our anger, go back to believing the lies. And I said, Tom, he was just desperately trying to follow the playbook he was taught and clearly trained. I mean, this Tom Hartman, very suspicious now, because I was hearing playbooks, man. I mean, I was hearing, maybe he was trained by somebody and didn't know what he was trained to do, but it was actual creating mental images of something completely different. Ayn Rand chopping up kids, throwing babies out of cars. And he was just melting down. And I kept hitting him with total targeted factual info people could check. And he got more desperate, and he said, you like Glenn Beck. You 9/11 truthers love him. And he got more and more desperate and was just bleeding out. I mean, I was acing him. It was like I was a Merlin Rolls Royce engine powered fighter plane in the Battle of Britain right behind his Messerschmitt firing into his gas tanks. Whoa, man, I'm telling you. And then I was on Inside Edition. It was the same PSYOP. And if these guys aren't actual Pentagon trained PSYOP, they were trained by people that are. But it's so ridiculously obvious once you know it. And imagine you're on a show talking about the history of government lies, about the Democrats believing they were going to roll out Bin Laden, about real issues. And he goes, I'm just out of the blue. Ayn Rand worshipped a man that cut up babies and threw him out of a car. What do you say to that? Just trying to erase everything I just said to get his audience to shift to that image of a chopped up baby going to a bestial low-level image, which automatically triggers the brain to go into its lower brain defense functions hearing about the baby dying. Kind of like when the former, at the time he was the current drug czar. What was that general's name? Guys, pull up Alex Jones confronts drug czar. He'll say the general's name. I'm having one of those moments of overload. And I said, what about this Reuters article from last week of the head of U.S. operations, U.S. Army, shipping masses of cocaine and heroin in? And he started laughing. And I said, don't laugh. I read the headline and the date. Everybody went, ooh. And he paused for about 10 seconds. And everybody was going, what? And he goes, the baby. I care about the baby. It's the same thing. I'm hitting him hard. And what's he do? He shifts and he says, the baby. Chopping, I mean, these people are so predictable. Barry McCaffrey, we've got the clip. We can play it right now. Alex Jones confronts drug czar. I mean, I am just watching them with these cartoon-level moves they throw at me. It's like I'm a boxer, and they're in slow motion. And I'm the Flash. It's bam, 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 wham. I mean, they're a joke. But see, they're not swinging at me. They're swinging at unconscious people in a REM state, dream state that the TV and the culture has actually lowered IQs, lowered brainwaves. Brainwaves, you can see the studies on average of Westerners are now lower because people are in a spectating dream state. And so it was all for people in a dream state. People in a dream state, oh, they were completely buying the entire thing. And then look at the headline. Tom Hartman, what is Alex Jones smoking? Bin Laden mission a fake. I'm going to play this in the fourth hour. I mean, I have never seen anything like it until this morning when I went on Inside Edition. Okay, I haven't even gotten into the news yet. I mean, it is getting crazy. It is getting absolutely crazy. In fact, going to break here. This is so important, I'm skipping the break. We're going to skip this network break. This is a historic thing, biggest thing that's happened in decades, this PSYOP, the fact that it's blowing up in the globalist face. I haven't even gotten to all that news yet. The fact that it signifies that they're going to try to launch new wars and false flags. The fact that they're on CBS News, ABC News, CNN saying there'll soon be feds on the streets sticking their hands down your pants everywhere, shopping centers, churches, malls. They're rolling out the full martial law system right now. And we're dying, not with a bang, but with a whimper. But here I am with Barry McCaffrey. Listen to the PSYOP. And then later when I play Tom Hartman, it's the same playbook. And folks, I mean, when you hit them hard, in fact, it happened once when Reno got asked a question by somebody else. She just shifted to babies. Babies are being hurt. Here it is. Do we have that queued up?
Jim McCaffrey, Alex Jones from KJFK Radio in Austin, Texas. I fully agree with you on the scourge of narcotics and their destructive consequences on the human brain. But something I find interesting is the massive evidence coming out in the past of our own government and other international organizations' involvement in drug smuggling. In fact, 2 days ago, you called Colombia an emergency situation. And you're calling for $1 billion and more funding. Well, your head of counter-narcotics and drug operations in Colombia, his wife was just caught shipping in masses of cocaine into the United States. This is from the Washington Post, sir. Also have Reuters right here on it.
Is there a question?
Yes, that's my question. I just wanted to state my facts because, you know, we're in this world where you ask a serious question, you're a kook. Let's talk about the drug running of this government.
Was the first press conference I had in Washington was an older reporter. And you know, I said, I don't know. I've been serving the country for 32 years. I'm not running any drugs.
Oh, no, that's a clip from American Drug Wars. Somebody that Booth using a clip of it. Next, he says, the baby, search Alex Jones confronts drug czar. I'll do it. I know you guys found that on the fly, so that's why. Yeah, Kevin Booth used a clip of that on his Showtime TV show. And we're doing all this on the fly. It's a full clip. And then the next thing he says is, the baby. And then he lets it sink in and he goes, the baby. Everybody, And then he just moves on. Let me just say, baby. Maternal instincts, lower brain, shut off, forget what you just heard. Distraction, diversion, the baby. What does Tom Hartman do? I'm talking about Bin Laden and evidence of it being staged, and he says, oh, well, what about this guy that chopped up babies and threw them out windows? You support that? What about Ayn Rand? It was her hero, you people. I mean, it was just beyond bizarre. And then another disinfo. Well, you 9/11 truthers sure love Glenn Beck. He sure loves you. Knowing that his liberal audience hates Glenn Beck and just hears Glenn Beck, it's like the 5 minutes of hate in 1984. You know, they just show us the image of Emmanuel Goldstein, the Bin Laden character, and everybody's like, nah! Angry. Did we find it? No, I mean, it's the clip. If it's just the longer clip without it from somebody's TV show, then you... Yeah, just start the whole thing over. It's fine. We can start from my question so folks see it unedited. Awesome job, guys, finding that on the fly. Okay, we'll go ahead and play it now. Here it is again.
Since my confrontation with General McCaffrey about 8 months ago at the time of the making of this film, the colonel has also pled guilty to narcotics trafficking. The head of drug interdiction in Central and South America working for the man on your screen. Let's talk about the drug running of this government.
Last time I got that question was the first press conference I had in Washington was an older reporter. And you know, I said, I don't know. I've been serving the country for 32 years. I'm not running any drugs. Louis Free, I don't think, is. I think the poor wife of the Nobel commander in Colombia underscores the problem. Drug abuse and its consequences are not a problem confined to one subsegment of the population. It affects all of us. Corruption, illegality. 4 months ago, I visited one of my best friends, lifelong friends. The four of us grew up together in the Army. Very senior officer. Three beautiful kids. The baby is 21 years old now. Kid looks like Christopher Reeves.
That's enough. It goes on from there. You heard the 10-second pause as he's floundering. Ooh, I can't handle it anymore. I'm here to tell you. Good job finding that on the fly. Okay. We'll go over all of this with Dr. Steve Pachinik coming up. We'll get him on at the 8 after so that every station is out there picking it up. I want to remind listeners, if you believe in this radio broadcast, get the PrisonPlanet.tv memberships and all the films that are online there and the higher quality audio podcast, the video podcast, the live video streams. Special interviews we do all over the country and the world, 15 cents a day, prisonplanet.tv, $5.95 a month, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free. Also, Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined, Fall of the Republic, Terror Storm, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, Big Brother, the Orwellian Nightmare Come True, Jesse Ventura, 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Get that, the two books together, get a free DVD. With it, all available at Infowars.com. Buy your war bonds in the battle for the Republic. This is the war. It's an info war. 90% of war is now information war. As the Pentagon admits, we have the truth, the secret weapon, and it's the equivalent of Stinger missiles shooting down Russian Hinds. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we are unstoppable when you take action against their disinfo, their floggers, their Hinds, their entire system. If we just take the field with the truth and laugh right back at them, it's over. They're moving with peer pressure control of the public that's been trained to be an arrested development, men that never grow up, women that never grow up. We've got to let people know why America's collapsing. We've got to reawaken the sleeping giant that is our republic and take our society back. And a big way of doing that is getting my books, my videos, the films, the T-shirts, the bumper stickers, the info war. It was 15 years ago I launched Operation Micro. And since then, many people picked up on the idea, many that didn't even know where the idea came from, and thousands of micro transmitters have been put up nationwide, similar to what the West did in Eastern Europe against the Soviets with micro FM. And the internet and Access TV, a great vehicle we've used to circumvent the globalist media domination before the web was powerful. Now they're moving with internet kill switch, internet IDs. They're announcing more and more the acclamation for troops on the streets, paramilitary police, checkpoints everywhere, all over the news being pushed. They've already had beta tests with Marines at checkpoints in California, U.S. Army and Homeland Security in Tennessee. Governor told him get out 2 years ago. They told him go to Hades. That's all in police state for the rise of FEMA. We have the proof. We have the facts. We have the information. We have the initiative. We understand the program that's taking place, and we're going to return the republic. We want a republic, not an empire. It is just so incredible the amount of news and information we have here today. Lord Christopher Monckton coming up a little bit, an hour and a half from now. Webster Griffin Tarpley also joining us, but Dr. Steve Pachinik with bombshell information coming up. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. I was busy talking to Dr. Pachinik and got back on air a little bit late. I apologize for that. He's going to be joining us coming up during the next segment. He developed some of the major psychological warfare programs that are currently used today, and he's clearly looked at this latest bin Laden killing and said you can see all the scripting, the PSYOP, but he can confirm that he was dead pre-2002, as he did on the air in April of 2002 with us. So we're going to break down from a former black op mastermind exactly what is going on here, and again, recapping why they've done this. But even more important, why they staged 9/11. And here is the article where you can read part of his extensive bio and learn more. Top U.S. government insider bin Laden died in 2001. 9/11, a false flag. That is up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. And we look forward to having him on with us for 15 minutes of the next hour, really just be an hour of airtime. Because when we come back, I'm going to go over some of his bio and this article just so people know exactly who they're listening to. And then also, he's been in so many missions, involved in so many things. He is the character that Jack Ryan in the Patriot Games series is based on. He, of course, and that's on record, he's co-authored many of the books with Tom Clancy. He's also, if you go to IMDb, the producer on films like NetForce and others. I mean, just incredible, and nobody knows what he looks like. And he's here with us today because he wants you to know the truth. I hope people realize the magnitude of this. And obviously, we'll let things settle out, and if he can do it, come back on with us again next week. As things continue to unfold. So we're going to be breaking all of that down today. He, of course, is a board examiner level psychiatrist, ran many large mental institutions, also worked under five presidents, three State Departments, and just involved in innumerable secret and clandestine operations. Maybe I should get him out of the gates to tell us about some of the stuff that he can now talk about. Just so people know how important this information is and the fact that he's risking a lot coming on air and saying that he talked to a top U.S. general who could confirm 9/11 was an inside job and he's ready to testify before a federal or state grand jury right now. This is big news. He's not playing games, and this is the real deal. But as he pointed out yesterday, he's not really risking anything. Because if we don't turn this around, folks, there is no society, there is no future. I mean, every time I look at my dear little children, how sweet and innocent and good they are, and there's always corruption, there's always problems, but when you stop resisting it, when you just give into it, when you let total delusion rule the day, it infects all of society, then total confidence is lost, and you become a banana republic. And we are on our way to that right now. And the controllers try to sell us on how much they want to protect us. The meme they're pushing right now is that the government's job is to protect you. And that's the most important. I heard them on the radio and TV saying, don't worry about gas prices. Don't worry about the dollar plunging. It's national security. Keep us safe. Well, what's most important is the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, the free market, private property, the family. That's the engine that the limited government is supposed to protect, not protect me by having checkpoints on the highways everywhere, which they're now announcing, CBS News. We'll talk about it all with Dr. Steve Pachinik straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, for the next hour and change, Dr. Steve Pachinik is our guest. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State and Senior Policy Planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, and James Baker. Dr. Pachinik continues to consult the Department of Defense. He received a Council on Foreign Relations CFR Fellowship, where he was recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Management. In the position, he was created the Office of Combat Terrorism, the Family Liaison Office. he recognized the medical department within the State Department and merged and reorganized the Department of Cultural Affairs and the U.S. Information Agency into one organization, the International Communications Agency. Dr. Pechenik is the author and creator of 26 New York Times bestsellers. He's the advisor to Tom Clancy. That's how Clancy knows all that stuff. His experiences in government and international crisis management were the basis of Tom Clancy's characters, Jack Ryan and Richard Clark. And you can go to IMDb and see that he's listed as executive producer on many of those big films. And it's stevepechenik.com. We're not going to show you his photo. His photo is not known. I mean, he was a really an interesting type, psychiatrist. A lot of times you find those type of guys right up at the top of black ops, psychological warfare. I did more research on him. I mean, I knew who he was 9+ years ago when I interviewed him, and it really blew me away how much he doesn't toot his horn. In fact, looking around here in my stack, I'm looking for my London Telegraph article. U.S. envoy admits role in Aldo Moro killing, and the former Italian prime minister, overthrowing governments. I mean, he is Jack Ryan and then some, that character. That's why we've got Harrison Ford's image up there as Jack Ryan today, since we don't have a photo of a Dr. Pechenik. And, I mean, I got to say, at certain levels, you know, they make it mythical, the Navy SEALs and the Delta Force and all that stuff. I mean, this guy, people like to get scared of those types. People ought to really be creeped out in a way by just how much this guy knows, where he's been. He's a scary guy. And I know he's going to probably laugh at that in a minute. But the point is, putting out disinfo. I'm going to see if this is true. So the Red Brigades would go ahead and kill him because they thought it would destabilize Italy if they didn't. I mean, just wild. I mean, it goes on and on. For the Pentagon setting up the modern black op program that's run today, this is the ultimate guy to get on to analyze the black op we saw Sunday, the disinfo, the cartoonishness of it. He comes on air and tells us that, yes, 9/11 is an inside job. He's ready to testify to a federal or state grand jury on the top general at the time that was in the military that, yes, it was an inside job. They stood down. It was a black op. Of course, I've got the local footage of the police saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7, and the firefighters about the molten steel, and the blast charges going off, the free fall. I mean, the NORAD stand down, the Cheney order. I mean, people say, where's the evidence? There's too much evidence. It hides in plain view. But what a breaking news for him to say this here. This is the co-author of Tom Clancy's books, ladies and gentlemen. This guy, untold wealth, untold success, big movies. Why would he be doing this? Because he cares, folks, because we're so down the line now. America is collapsing. I've got the financial stack of news here. 1 in 7 in the U.S. receive food stamps, Wall Street Journal. Stocks sink, led by energy, dollar slump, dollar now. They're reporting at its all-time low since 1941. Internet police, open calls to start shutting down freedom of speech. Average price of gas hits $4. Chicago breaks $4.44. The White House secretly pressuring newspapers not to even make unflattering remarks about the president and his wife. Total manipulation behind the scenes. Now the official story is literally falling in on itself right now. I listened to national talk radio, local talk radio, liberal conservative last night and this morning. I went to bed at 1, got up at 5. Nothing but full spectrum computer, TV on the background, radio. About 70% of the callers are calling in saying, I'm a liberal, I like Obama. They're showing they're not being political, but I think this was staged, and I don't believe it, and I'd heard he'd been killed many times. It was dead years ago. Next, I'm a conservative, and he's trying to get political points with this. Where's the body? Why are they changing the stories? All over the map. Now, that's 70%. We're seeing record Facebook accounts being deleted, MySpace, people being knocked off major news site comments where they normally allow dissent. The system is scared to death right now, and I can officially tell you this blew up in their face. Now, I want to go to Dr. Pechenik here in just a moment because he doesn't want to toot his horn, but I mean, if he could, just people know how serious, because you can just Google his name. I spent over an hour last night just into the government overthrows, the black ops, the running the Taliban against the Russians, just you name it. This guy makes E. Howard Hunt look like a schoolboy, all the stuff he was involved in. And it goes on. And of course, Ethan Hunt, that's the name of the guy in Mission Impossible, and they admit that's the character of E. Howard Hunt. We got the deathbed confession here first of them pulling the trigger on JFK. Top U.S. government insider Bin Laden died in 2001. 9-1-1, a false flag. Top U.S. government insider Dr. Steve Pachinik, a man who held numerous different influential posts under five different presidents, but under the Secretary of State under three, still works for the Defense Department. Shockingly told Alex Jones Show yesterday that Osama bin Laden died in 2001 and that he was prepared to testify in front of a grand jury on how top general told him directly that 9/11 was a false flag inside job. I mean, this is the kind of stuff can get us killed, folks. Pachinik cannot be dismissed as a conspiracy theorist. He served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of State under three administrations, Nixon, Ford, Carter, while working under Reagan and Bush Sr., and still works as a consultant for the Department of Defense, a former U.S. Navy captain, went as high as colonel, I believe, before he got out. Pachinik achieved two prestigious Harry C. Solomon Awards at the Harvard School as he simultaneously completed his Ph.D. at MIT, recruited by Lawrence Eagleburger as Deputy Assistant Secretary for State Management. Pachinik went on to develop the basic tenets of psychological warfare. This is from the Pentagon. The basic modern tenets of psychological warfare, counterterrorism strategy, and tactics for transcultural negotiations. That's the anthropology, sociology, for the U.S. Department of State, military and intelligence communities, and other agencies of the U.S. government, while also developing foundational strategies for hostage rescue that were later employed around the world. Pachinik also served as senior policy planner under Secretaries Henry Kissinger, senior policy planner Cyrus Vance, George Shultz, these are the top kingmakers, James Baker, and worked for George W. Bush's reelection campaign against Al Gore. His record underscores the fact that he is one of the most deeply connected men in intelligence circles over the past three decades. He's Jack Ryan, folks. It just goes on and on. This is insane. And everything he says fits into my research and all the other experts I'm talking to. Hamid Ghul's agreeing, former head of Pakistani intelligence, General Ghul, Webster Tarpley, Wayne Madsen, NSA. I know I'm ranting, sir. I apologize. I want to get into some of the other issues you wanted to cover today, but since we talked 24 hours ago or 22 hours ago to be technical, this is clearly blowing up in their face. Do you agree? And how dangerous are these cornered rats now?
Well, I think, you know, when you tell a lie, you're going to unwind that lie by the very fact that you've created a lie. The nature of creating a lie in psychological warfare is that you have to be consistent, make sure that all the details are intertwined and are credible. It's almost like a movie. So you got to think of the President of the United States, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mullen, who, by the way, whose father was a publicist for the William Morris Agency. And in the intelligence community, it's not an accident that you have this entirely contrived story. It's not credible. It's just like you had Disneyland with a key character who was already dead. And in order to reaffirm the storyline, that is to make sure that the President of the United States looked good, a man like Axelrod or all his advisors, including Obama himself, was particularly suited to the lie, distortions, and deception because that's how he came to power. That's how George Bush Jr. comes to power. He sits down with a bunch of his own cronies. They sit down in groupthink, which you talked about before on your radio. Every one of the national security advisors who have their roles there because they're bequeathed and they're sycophants to the president. They're all kowtowing down, come together, and create this fictional story in psychological warfare that makes no sense. And many of the present people in psychological warfare were never trained 20, 30 years ago because they didn't understand the psychology, they don't understand the anthropology, they don't understand that the American public, you do not psyops the American public. That was a rule of thumb that we had under four to five presidents, that if you tried to psyops the American public, and it broke when you had George Bush Jr., when he created the psychological warfare, and then created the 9/11 through deception, distortion, false flag, stand down, And then we had before him, we had Lyndon Baines Johnson. It goes on both sides when he created distortion of a false flag in the Gulf of Tonkin. We went into the war in Vietnam, and we had FDR, as Donald Rumsfeld stupidly accused and said that if anybody like Pechenik is accusing the Republicans of creating 9/11, Rumsfeld said this on public September 12th. In 2001, he said, Steve Pechenik, if he accuses us, Republicans, of 9/11, then we have to accuse Franklin Roosevelt of doing a standout. Well, of course I accuse them of doing a standout because Paul Wolfowitz, the neocon, Salmei Halazad, Frank Fukuyama, you had Dennis Ross, you had Richard Pearl, and you had Scooter Libby, all trained at the University of Chicago under Wolfstetter. And what was their topic? Stand down and false flag in Pearl Harbor at the University of Chicago when I was at MIT. So what happens now? What happens now when you've distorted the story and you can't get a consistency, just as we saw in George Bush Jr., which was, well, we have weapons of mass destruction. Suddenly there's a reality testing. There isn't a weapons of mass destruction. Then suddenly the military, our formidable military, our generals, and our army generals in particular, are forced to change their intelligence in order to be consistent with the White House. Well, thank God for a lot of our CIA operatives who were not on contract, who were being career and refused to listen to Bush Jr. and to the bullying of Cheney. But today, unfortunately, 80% of our CIA now are mercenaries. They do not have analysis intel. They're really detailed off from special forces. And
well, sir, that's what I want to stop you, doctor, and continue. But that's what Ray McGovern. I don't know if you knew him, but he was, you know, the morning briefer for Reagan and Bush Senior. Did you know him?
No, I knew of him. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, Ray says the same thing. He says they can't even do real national security assessments anymore because it's all la-la land. And once you put a psyop out into the public, the way the human brain works and all individuals being limited in their perception, it then is taken back and received by your own system. And it basically, for lack of a better word, makes the military-industrial complex drink their own Kool-Aid.
Well, it's not only the military-industrial complex. By the way, it's very important for the public to understand this. I am not a hero. I'm not this great individual. I'm just a simple American who was grateful for the benefits I was given and earned in terms of the ability to serve my country and at the same time be in the only country where I could criticize my own president and still work for them and be so loyal to my country because I was willing to go online and particularly serve my military, our Army generals in particular, the Army colonels, and be teaching at the War College every year. That's a privilege for me.
No, I understand, Dr. Pechenik.
But I have to understand the public. I'm not some superhero. I'm the same guy that your father is, who's a dentist or a mechanic out there or an Army lieutenant or a junior officer because they stood for something they believed in. I am tired of the American public being told these lies. I thought it would stop with 9/11. Now we have Obama. Now let's get back to the issue. What happens when the PSYOPs, which was poorly constructed...
You were talking about where they get their CIA people and that most of the intelligence is run by private mercs.
Correct. They get the intelligence people from all the military-industrial complex, L3 Communication, Northrop Grumman. Any of these companies around the Washington Beltway will provide intelligence for you right away because they want those contracts. Now, remember, America, and particularly the Alex Jones audience, supporting our national security does not mean supporting our military-industrial complex. It is not the same thing. They are out of control. They have been hogs that need to be slaughtered. I will quote one of my most favorite presidents, who unfortunately I was too young to serve, but I did always admire him, and that was General Eisenhower, who warned us when he left, beware of the military-industrial complex. He repeatedly said that. This is a great man who was exceedingly modest, who was exceedingly careful of the American national security. And every week, he literally, Alex, would call up the Pentagon to make sure the generals didn't blow out their staff or promote things and create units that didn't exist. That's the type of generals we had and people who cared about a country. We don't have that now. What we have is Disneyland on steroids. And what's worse is that Disneyland is killing our American, our heroes, our American women and men and young people who are going out to die for civilian orders that are being used and manipulated by a president who's never served our country, has a questionable background in many, many places, forget the birthing issue, and has civilians around him have all been questionable in their capability, and were all recruited from a questionable predecessor, either Carter or Clinton, who himself was also a sociopath. So we have three sociopaths in line, and I use it not in a diagnostic term, but in a very simple term. You have Clinton, who lied and prevaricated. You have Bush Jr., who lied and prevaricated. And now you have Obama. Now, if we have three in the low, we got a problem here, America. This problem isn't just with the individual, the Republican and Democrat. This problem is with the American people. We have to decide this is enough. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, liberal, or conservative, it's irrelevant.
Sir, let me stop you because... Absolutely, okay. Because we have limited time, and obviously you're going to be back
all
with
right.
us a
so
lot.
The issue now, what happened is, if I didn't know which unit of the Special Forces, and I've worked with Special Forces over 30 years, and part of it, I was involved in development of Delta Force, because in the beginning of hostage negotiation, we didn't have a comparable unit to the SAS. One of the concerns that I had, and I said, if I think any unit's going to be sent in there on the basis of publicity, and believe me, I have a lot of respect for the men and women who serve in the Navy and in all Special Forces, but particularly I work with the military, Army, Special Forces, which, by the way, you have never heard anything about. You have never heard about any of the Army men who I know and the units that I specifically know, nor will I tell you of the men and women who are in the Army and they're serving this country, and they've never had a movie about them. They've never had a story about them. Yet today, I would have sworn, and I said to Alex Jones beforehand, if I had to predict which unit was going to get the biggest publicity, and if I were Admiral Mullen, who's concerned about his publicity and the publicity of the Navy, because they have no goal whatsoever right now strategically, I would have said they would have used the SEAL Navy team. Now, think about it. You use a SEAL Navy team on the ground from Afghanistan to Pakistan. It makes no sense. And then to go on the news and to say that we are so great, but we are so secret, it is an inherent contradiction. When you're secret, you are secret. There's a reason why I don't have a picture, because I'm not that good looking. There's a reason why I really don't care about what people think about it, because I want to do my everyday life in America. I don't need to promote my narcissism. I don't need to promote who I am or what I am. It's already difficult to pronounce my last name, Pechanic. And by the way, that's been my secret to success overseas, because nobody could spell Pechanic, including Noriega. But let's go back to the Navy SEALs. They really have to question what they did and what happened.
Well, let me stop you, Doctor. Doctor, there's been some major breaking news, Dr. Pechanic. Are you there?
Okay,
great. Obviously, this morning they came out and said his daughter, who they have at a military base in Pakistan, who was left there, and he has all these wives, all these concubines, all this made-up cutout, just like they told us that, you know, Pat Tillman was killed fighting al-Qaeda, and it turned out they just murdered him.
Right.
Or the same thing with Private Lynch, with Bruckheimer on record producing it. If folks don't know about that, BBC admits it. They're now announcing that, oh, not only did bin Laden not use his wife as a shield, not only did he not shoot at them, now they grabbed him, took him out, and then shot him somewhere else, and they just keep changing it, changing it, changing it. And then this SEAL Team 6, as you know, is the most secret of the teams and has other teams associated with it. That's why they use that team, so that other SEALs ignorant and can never, you know, discover that it didn't happen. And you're breaking down what teams you think are involved, what happened. Obviously, it's theater. He's been dead for 9 plus years, 10 years. But and they're creating this.
Let me tell you a true story. Let me just so your audience understands it. I worked with Special Forces for over 30 years, not particularly with SEALs, but I did have an episode with the SEALs. I'm not degrading the SEALs. I think there are very good men and women who are in the SEALs. But let me tell you the history of the SEALs as I know it. Under the Reagan administration, I was involved in the invasion of Grenada. The only men we lost on a raft were SEAL member teams heading into Grenada. Now, you tell me how 4 to 6 SEAL members drowned on a raft heading into Grenada. the only members of any special forces I have ever seen in the movies, on television, so promoting themselves like the FBI loves to promote itself, and it had a history where it was totally dysfunctional in international crisis management and in terrorism, because I've worked with the FBI. They never shared their intelligence. They never shared their information. Remember, they were the ones who flew out Osama bin Laden but didn't say a word. Is, again, whenever you see self-promotion of a particular unit in the U.S. government, you have to question it as an American citizen. Now, I'm not degrading those people who go through the SEAL unit and are on the teams. These are brave men and women. I'm questioning how they're being manipulated and used. I'm questioning an Admiral Mullen, who's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who's already made judgment mistakes by giving a civilian Medal of Honor to another sociopath named Greg Mortensen, who claimed he was in Pakistan, and then I reprimanded them for doing that, and immediately he was seen in terms of a statesmanlike attitude, and I say he should resign now, he should resign, the SEAL team should resign, and every member who has been involved in this contrived, disgusting, degrading PSYOPs operation should resign.
All right, stay there, doctor. We got a break. We come back as a PSYOPs expert, decipher why it's a fraud for us, and we'll get into some other important news.
You take a mortal man and put him in control. Watch him become a god. Watch people's heads roll. Roll.
Dr. Steve Pachinik is our guest, and he's breaking down as a PSYOPs expert who really wrote the book on much of the modern system that this is completely phony. And I know that he just laughs at it. He's on record 9 years ago here saying bin Laden was on ice, would be rolled out. Then the former Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, came out and said indeed that was true. Theresa Hines Carey, Walter Cronkite, big insider. And people get confused. They say, well, this is a new administration. Why would Bush let him do that later? A, no one would believe it because it was exposed beforehand. B, they wanted to keep that boogeyman alive a while. Now that he's not useful anymore, by killing him in the fairyland, in the land of Nod, or the you know, the land that Tinkerbell lives in, by doing that, now they revive him and say, oh my gosh, look, the terrorists are now everywhere. They're going to be attacking us. We've got to set up TSA trained checkpoints in all malls, grocery stores. That's CBS News Today. We've got to take all your rights and have more wars. You've got to do whatever we tell you, because bin Laden is dead. And of course, we wrote about this yesterday. Forget Pakistan. U.S. knew bin Laden's location all along, if you believe the official story. And the Pakistanis are now saying 9 months ago they said something was going on in that compound. But again, that's all just adding credence to the official story, and all these debates about did he have a gun, did he use his wife, was he shot at the compound, did they execute him later? That's all to create inconsistencies in the fake narrative, because somehow it lends credibility to it, because then people say, well, they did kill him, but we're being lied to about exactly how. And the burial at sea, which they say is the Sharia law, and then it's the opposite of Sharia law, then it makes it about did they follow Sharia law instead of why did they throw him in the ocean to get rid of him. All of it completely manufactured. So, sir, as a, you know, one of the top, you know, PSYOP experts out there on record, doctor, break down not just the fact that you know it's a lie because of your inside sources and being on record, but looking at the official fable. I mean, I think you said it best. The SEALs are the politicized special forces group. Then there's Delta that you helped found. And during the break, you said, yes, you're correct, but I can't talk about it. But obviously, through my contacts, there are a whole bunch of other squadrons with other jobs, not just anti-terror, the surveillance groups, the plainclothes groups. I mean, there's all sorts of groups way above that, but you can't get into that. But obviously, they use the politicized group with this phantom SEAL Team 6, so the other SEALs can't even find out it's a fraud. Please continue.
Well, the real issue issue. Again, in the narrative that you want to create in PSYOPs, when you create a war like 9-11, which deception, denial, false flag, and stand down that all your people know about, you need to have a bad guy. So the bad guy was suddenly Saddam Osama bin Laden. But in this narrative, because Bush, Cheney, Wolfowitz, and the also the neocons were not very bright in understanding even PSYOPs for war, they created two bad guys, Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. And a lot of us got confused because Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein has never been a Muslim. He was basically a Ba'athist. He hated Osama bin Laden. And basically we had two wars going on with two unspecified targets. We went into two countries without any clear exposition of what the reasons were. So we had this incredible PSYOPs which made no sense, no internal consistency. When people in the intelligence community came back to Bush and said, this is not true, we don't have weapons of mass destruction, the only fable that was out there to sustain this myth of the war, of why we were fighting terrorists that didn't exist, and we had created under the Carter administration and subsequently the Bush's administration, we had to have this phantom called Osama bin Laden, who was somehow scurrying about in the Afghanistan in Tora Bora with a renal dialysis machine. And I said 10 years ago on Alex Jones' show, this is nonsense. This PSYOPs is so pathetic because he has Marfan syndrome. He died already 6 months after the 9-11 attack. He has Zawahiri, his number two man, who's head of the Taliban, is a physician. And by the way, from a tactical point of view and a strategic point of view, his death means absolutely nothing in the real world of intelligence.
Let me stop you.
What it means is that Obama is trying to resurrect his career and trying to get reelected, and it means that Panetta wants to have credibility that he did something in the CIA when, in fact, was a disaster in the CIA. He killed more civilians in Pakistan than any terrorist had. He created more drone attacks than any terrorist. We had more CIA operatives die because of his faulty understanding. And we converted an entire CIA, which is an intelligence or human-oriented, into special forces and into a killing unit. Now, this does not involve the generals Petraeus and our military men who've done a formidable job, but they are also at the behest of civilians who've never been to war. So when the President of the United States, Obama, said, without any experience, after picking up the Nobel Peace Prize, which was absurd, and then went to war the next day in Afghanistan after giving this peace talk to the Muslims saying, we're all brothers, you could see the inconsistency and the lies. And now this politicized drama, which makes no sense, all the inconsistencies are unwinding. But we needed Osama bin Laden, or the story was needed, in order to get the bad man. The reason he's now discovered, and ostensibly this attack on a mortuary, which I've never, this is the most absurd story I've ever heard, legitimizes, number one, the fact that this entire system of intelligence, which, by the way, Americans have to understand, there are over 850,000 contractors with top secret clearances. Now, that is the most absurd thing I have ever heard.
Who have a stake in the fairy tale. Let me add something, because you are a medical doctor. Let's break this down. Now, from my own layman research, total renal failure, kidney failure for layman out there, the disease he had, I went online to a whole bunch of mainline medical sites last night, and on the outside, they were saying maybe you can live 5-6 years once you're in this position, but if you have this disease, even less. So then I went and pulled up old articles from even the mid-90s saying he had it then and that it was on record. You've seen a CIA file. So how can a guy that has something that kills you in 6 years, correct me if I'm wrong, how can he be alive 16 years later?
He can't. That's why I said on your show even 9 years ago that Dr. Dooley, one of the physicians of the CIA, went to the American hospital in Dubai. He was already dying under the Clinton administration. So you have Clinton implicated, who's another prevaricator and distorter. I mean, and that was used subsequently in 9-11 because they knew his life was limited. That was it. He was to die. So how do you best use a man's imminent death in a psychological warfare routine? Well, you make him the bad guy. So you make him the bad guy, and then you don't find him for 10 years. Now, that is so absurd in terms of credibility.
And by the way, sir, by the way, you didn't even know that CBS News had reported that the CIA did go to the American hospital, Le Figaro, the French. That's been confirmed.
No, I knew this way before.
No. I understand. I understand. And, well, no, you said it on the show years ago. It didn't come out until after, but they probably got it from you and then went and did research. But the issue here is that they know full well. Now, his family builds most of the military bases in the Middle East. They did the air conditioning for Mecca. They're one of the richest families in Saudi Arabia.
And they're still working.
I mean, exactly. His kids, you know, are all going to Oxford and the rest of it. Now his daughter, but we're not seeing her, pops up and says it's all true. This family, from my study, correct me if I'm wrong, goes back to British intelligence. They didn't just send bin Laden in to be the money man for the Mujahideen that you met while you were there running some of the military operations because he fell off an apple truck. Now, my intel is they made the deal with him and his family at the time to let him play the part of the bad guy, and since then, they've been given even bigger U.S. and British contracts as the payoff.
Right. Let me tell you one principle of counterterrorism and psychological warfare. Any terrorist that has been apprehended, for the most part, as a rule of thumb, for example, Carlos, not only served intelligence of the Soviets, he served intelligence for the Mossad, for the French, who caused question to be called him BND. So within this game of counterterrorism, which is really a game, a very sick game, we create what is called, under Kissinger, strategic tension. We create strategic tension so we have a legitimate reason to go into a country to either invade, suppress, or extract whatever mineral rights. Now, let me give you an understanding. Let me say it very clearly. Osama bin Laden was on more than one payroll. He was not only in the CIA payroll, British payroll, but guess whose other payroll he was on, Alex Jones?
The Israelis.
Take a wild guess. You got it. And he had relationships with Jews in the Middle East, in the diamond business, and Israel would go absolutely nuts. But the New York Times article years ago even reported how a lot of his own money came out of the Jewish diamond dealers in Tel Aviv, and his mother, Yemeni, usually would probably be Jewish. But I don't want to get into this entire issue other than the fact that people have to understand, when I went after Noriega, which also cost my life because he hunted me down, accused me of being an assassin, whether it's right or wrong, let's not worry about that. But he served our intelligence, he served Latin American intelligence, he served Cuban intelligence, he served many intelligence. For the same reason, when we went after Saddam Hussein, by the way, I do have to correct you, Saddam Hussein was not executed, with all due respect, Alex Jones. We never execute a leader of a country, and particularly with Bush Jr., who's a liar and a coward, by the way.
So you're saying that's all fake, too?
He was not executed. What you saw, in effect, was a picture of a so-called execution through a camera of somebody's little camera, but he is probably somewhere in the Central Asia. And Bush Jr. can go in front of a federal court, and if he can swear that without holding Cheney's hands the same way he did the commission, I will be surprised.
Well, sir, that's like the old King's rule where kings don't kill kings. That's why twice.
That's exactly.
That's
true.
Why twice with Napoleon against, they put him on islands.
Exactly. Idi Amin, I worked against Idi Amin. He killed 187,000 people. We didn't kill him. We put him in Saudi Arabia. He was playing poetry. He was writing poetry. He was playing golf. Noriega was never killed. He was sent off to France. He has a chateau in France. It goes on and on and on. Osama bin Laden was already dead. We used him. All of these so-called villains are used for national security purposes. And the vehicle is always a psychological operation to mobilize the American public through the most cynical of all statements, national security, freedom of speech, and in fact what happens is there's suppression. So the inherent paradox of what our country does to ourselves will come back to bite
all right.
Government repeatedly because the American government will not tolerate. The American people will
not
tolerate.
Doctor, this is too incredible, and the time we've got only about 35 minutes with you. I don't want to bump Lord Monckton, who's popping in, but I'm getting really tempted to do it here in a minute.
Okay.
But no. Stay there, sir, because
I am here.
But let's go back. Let's go back here, because every time you mention something, it opens a whole data mine in my own brain up.
Yes.
The four Al-Qaeda leaders.
Student at school. You must have been restless at school, Alex.
I was restless, but every time you mention a point, then I can see all the data that's public, not to mention all the data, inside data you have, but it's just all confirmed. When I was on RT, International TV, a few days ago, they showed the four top al-Qaeda people, and three of them, Gadon, Alaki, and one other, they admit all born in the U.S., and then I know their ledgers. Anwar al-Awlaki, Fox News admits, secretly at the Pentagon, 2 months after 9/11, dining with the Secretary of the Army, he runs the Fort Hood, Patsy attacks, the underwear bomber, the Times Square, the shoe bomber, they get the drugged Mutalib on the plane. I mean, this is all admitted, and the State Department
did. Correct.
I mean, what's crazy is let me just add this final point.
You have to get to the central premise, my dear friend.
No, but here's my point. Adam Gadon is the grandson of the former head of the ADL who was arrested for beating up Arabs outside mosque. He hated him so much. And the way he gets them is by dressing up in that clown suit with the beard. Here is this ADL grandson uploading with the Intel Center in the same al-Qaeda logo, their logo, and Wired Magazine confirmed they'd made the video. I mean, you're bringing up bin Laden working for Israel. I don't think people get what you're saying here.
I'm not saying he's working. I'm saying that basically he had been funded by, diamond dealers. That was in the New York Times. And I'm sure he worked for many other intelligence services, including the Brits and others, you know, because in that game, and this is speculation on that part, in that game of counterterrorism, which unfortunately is a game, it is always service to multiple masters in order to justify what they do, what national governments do. But bin Laden was always dealing in the diamond business. I believe his mother was Jewish. She's Yemeni. And, you know, the bin Laden family is still part of the Carlyle Group. Take a look if they hadn't been on it, or are they still part of it? You can look it up.
No, sir. London Guardian Carlyle headline, September 11th, 2001. It had already, September 12th, that all these top brass and Bush people were meeting at the Carlyle Group meeting with the bin Ladens there that day. That's what I mean. There's all these insane connections.
That's correct. It's all connections. So basically the question is, how do you break these connections, and how does the American public stop this nonsensical, dangerous, cynical destruction, as you call it? It's destroying the fibers of our country, and the answer is you have to get out on the streets and start insisting on freedom of speech, insisting that you have to organize, that the American public is not stupid. They don't need to have their homework to protect the country, and they have to have demand the truth. And they have to force their legislators, most of whom are cowardly, because whether you're a Republican or Democrat, remember the dynamics of a legislator is the panderer. He first says to you very nicely, oh, please vote for me, please vote for me, this is what I can do. Well, it's like saying a physician like me, if I weren't a medical student, I go up to you, Alice, and I said, listen, I want you to pay for the fact that I'm going to be a doctor, but I'm not a doctor right now, but I promise you I'm going to be a doctor, and you're going to say, what, are you crazy? You haven't shown anything that you can do to be a doctor. Well, that's what Obama did. He said, look, I can run this country, but I've never run anything.
All right, Dr. Pechenik, we've got a break. We've got a break. And again, I hate to interrupt because everything you're saying is so important, but then I've got all of these other questions I want to bring up to you. And I want to get into the solutions. I want to spend a lot of time on that. There's also a lot of breaking news. CBS News is confirming the president has now given an interview that will be played later this week, that they are not going to release the photos. And they say, Obama said the risk of releasing outweighed the benefits. Conspiracy theorists around the world will just claim the photos are doctored anyway. And there is a real risk that releasing the photos will only serve to inflame public opinion in the Middle East. And he went on to attack conspiracy theorists. This has been released by CBS News, that Obama is responding to conspiracy theorists. That is people that don't buy his propaganda. I want to talk about this when we come back. But also, more importantly, something I've learned that you've written and talked about, the move towards a police state martial law situation. Because there is a full court press, ABC, CBS, CNN saying, contrary to the war on terror being over, we are going to set up federally trained police in grocery stores everywhere, and that everyone is going to have hands stuck down their pants. They're doing this to break our will. We'll find out from Dr. It's torture when a guest like Dr. Pechenik is on because it's so informative. And I've done all this research. When I hear him talking, I want to say, yes, yes, you're right. Folks, it's true. In fact, here's all this public evidence. I mean, he'll say one line of information and then another, another, another. And each one, when I've just immersed myself in this, it makes my head burn. Not in a bad way. It makes me want to jump out of my chair and just see people come out of their trance. The people perish for lack of knowledge. Sir, what do you make of Obama? They've now released a transcript of a 60 Minutes interview he just did today, responding to conspiracy theorists. Now he's responding to the birth certificate. I mean, this shows how weak they are. And now they're not going to release a photo because any Photoshop expert can put it in a computer and scan it. They put out a, whether you believe he was born in Hawaii or not, the experts have now spoken. The birth certificate has been altered. Did they do it on purpose to make the debate continue? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, let's get it straight. What happens when you attack the government, whether it's under Bush Jr. or Obama, and you're seeing Obama use it, but he's not as effective as Bush Jr. was, because Bush Jr. was had more CIA operatives there who had a better history of psyops. The truth is, when you don't know what to say, you immediately denigrate people like me. In particular, is what he's talking about, people like you, Alex, and all of your audience, by saying we're conspiracy theorists. Well, you know, the beauty of life is that there are people who are trying to do nasty things. And whether we call it conspiracy theorist or not, or he says it's silliness, that doesn't mitigate the fact that there's truth. And a man who is not able to tell the truth or come to terms with the truth then uses these very flippant words like conspiracy theorist, silly people, birthist or truist. These are code words in order to make sure that you're put into a corner where you can't say anything and you're categorized. That's a very easy way to delegitimize you in psychological warfare. But unfortunately, the president really is not very smart. Contrary to his own self-esteem, and they're going to listen to this at the White House, he's not very bright. And I'm saying that because he never really had an education in psychology, never really had an education in the real world, how it works, other than the political world of corruption, deception, denial, and lie, but he doesn't really know how to effectively use it. More importantly, neither do anybody around him. That's why the storyline and this atrocity and ridiculousness, if you want to talk of the president's own word, silliness, of the body of Osama bin Laden that's been dead for 9 years, but he can't show you a picture of it, is so absurd, it flashes back to him. It's what we call a blowback. The president now is desperate.
Well, that's what I'm saying, sir. Doctor, I got to stop you again. I got to stop you because this is I'm having an epiphany here. Exactly. I think this proves what you're saying. They've got the power, but they've been immersed in their lies so long that they're the ones that are delusional. Didn't they know claiming they threw him in the ocean would make people not believe him? Don't they know not releasing a photo is the prima facie evidence? I mean, they look so guilty.
My dear friend Alex, let me tell you something about you and the American public. We're a lot smarter than our politicians. This is not being grandiose. I'm just telling you, the American public has to understand that we, the American public, are a lot smarter than our politicians because, number one, we understand real life. Number two, we're used to television shows. Number three, we have silly movies. We're used to reality shows. This is a reality show that makes no sense and is very pathetic. Because, unfortunately, it's costing us millions and hundreds of millions of dollars, and the actor is not a very good actor, because, number one, he's not good at acting. You look at him at the teleprompter, he's pathetic. He looks like a zombie without any emotion. Secondly, he really has no intellectual capacity to analyze or question what really is happening, despite the fact he said he's from Harvard Law, you know, very Harvard Law. Well, that doesn't make for a very effective president or a good person.
Another BS-filled lawyer. Stay there, Dr. Pechenik, back in 60 seconds. We've only got 20 minutes left with him. This is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Pechenik is our guest. Webster Tarpley coming up, or Monton coming up. There's so many stories, so much intel this guy could give us, so many questions. I don't even know where to begin. We're going to have him back just for calls soon and for your Twitter questions. Dr. Pechenik, I want to get into solutions in the next segment with you. This is a short little segment, but you were just talking about Rumsfeld attacking you after 9/11. And at the same time, Bush went to the UN and said, let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories, you know, which means don't investigate, don't look at me, don't look under the rug. I mean, it's really, methinks you protest too much, but get into what Rumsfeld said.
Well, it's very simple. Once you get into this type of situation where Rumsfeld said, you know, if you accuse me and the Republican administration, which he really directed towards me as a conspiracy theorist, which was absurd, I said, fine, it's reality. Then you have to talk about Roosevelt creating Pearl Harbor. And I said, of course Roosevelt had a stand on Pearl Harbor. It's the same thing with Obama. The minute he talks about his conspiracy theory or silliness or whatever he wants to say, then what happens is it repercusses back to him and it opens up his own narcissistic vulnerability, which is a fancy way of saying, listen, the more you pump yourself up, stupid, the more you're going to be vulnerable to the American public asking questions of what did you do in Chicago when you were growing up? While you were married, before you're married, before you were educated, what kind of education did you really have? Let's look at really what you did, because the more stupid things you say and you do to the American public, the more vulnerable you become. And go ask Axelrod, who's not the brightest guy in the world, and ask your own heads of national intelligence who remain there because they get pensions and they get double pensions. These are not the same guys from the 90s and 80s. Worked for Bush and Reagan, who really sacrificed their lives. These are guys who earn their pensions, remain there, and really have never been in the outside world. So I want this president to keep on attacking me and you and the American public to come out with more and more stupidity, because underneath it all, he's not just a liar. He knows he's a sociopath. He knows it from the day he was born, he's a sociopath. You don't get to be president of the United States unless you want to manipulate the thief and lie. But this is not a man who's basically all that bright. In the same way Condoleezza was not very bright. We know Bush Jr. was stupid. Clinton was very bright, but he's a bright liar. This man is not even a bright liar. It would do well for him to go to Clinton to understand how to lie convincingly. But this president is getting stupider and stupider. In fact, when he's trying to promote himself at a time when he's so weak and he can't really get out of the notion of the birther issue, out of the notion that we have a police state where we have TSA. Now, what in God's name are TSA people doing, putting their hands in your crotch, sealing you up, delaying everything, and making believe that they caught any terrorist? There is no terrorist that they could find. Furthermore, if they want to look at anything, why don't you look at the harbors? Why don't you look at overseas? And really look at what you're looking at. The only terrorist we had is Chertoff, who started all of this nonsense with the TSA because he owns a lot of the machinery. And the neocons who are still around trying to promote American democracy. And we have a president who is so pathetically inept. He knows that. He knows that guys like me cannot be convinced, because I didn't buy him when I heard from congressmen that Hillary Clinton couldn't lie or run. You know why? Because Bill Clinton was still screwing around. He was still screwing around. So I was asked by a congressman who I will not identify why Hillary Clinton will not be able to win the presidency, and I said Bill Clinton will never allow Hillary Clinton to win the presidency because he's screwing around. So you had a man out of nowhere who came out of nowhere, Chicago, with a ballet dancer who was his right-hand man, Rahm Emanuel, who really was a totally dysfunctional ballet dancer, and it came to the forefront. He said he was a very powerful man and intimidated. He didn't intimidate anybody. One senator said, very convincingly, I wish he were more of a knee breaker than a ballet dancer. He gave away $80 billion in pharmaceutical grants to the pharmacy in order to pass Obamacare.
Stay there, sir. Yeah, it was written by the insurance companies. Dr. Steve Pechenik, unbelievable information. Let's get into solutions when we come back.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Right now, there are literally hundreds of articles coming out. I'm scanning over the headlines. The Atlantic that attacked me yesterday saying I was a kook for questioning the bin Laden kill. Now their editor comes out with the slippery story of the bin Laden kill. Drudge has it linked up at Drudge Report. And it just goes through the fact that people are not buying it. 7 out of 10 calls, I actually was sitting there driving in my car with a piece of paper doing the four lines and the fifth line through it, counting. 7 out of 10 callers, national, local, are not buying it. A complete rout has begun. Dr. Pachinik, for those that just joined us, is the... is the Jack Ryan, of course, of the Patriot Games, that character from the books of Tom Clancy, really spy master, overthrowing governments, running assassinations, you name it, working in 5 administrations. Sir, what do you make of the fact that this is starting to blow up in their face? Is there any danger in them now trying to pull some even more ridiculous rabbit out of a hat? How could this escalate?
Well, this can escalate very quickly by what you saw, that, in fact, we're going to increase our terrorist watch. We're going to suppress the American public more. We're going to have more security. But, in fact, I have more faith in our military, particularly the Army, than I do in our civilian government. I have faith in men like General Petraeus, other generals who I will not mention, where the Army will not tolerate this type of behavior by civilians who are really inept. And really what's happening is the quicker that General Petraeus gets into the CIA and is able to take control of this so-called intelligence apparatus, which really has not been functional. As I told you, 850,000 of these intel boards in counterterrorism have top secret. They're all making money. It's become a big business. One of my close general friends said to me, the greatest weapon of mass destruction is these centers for counterterrorism. Think of that. The standards for counterterrorism are the greatest dangers of that. So I'm not as afraid because the American public is going to resist it. They're going to say, F you, fire up. And they should stand up and say, that's enough. We don't have the attacks. The attacks did not occur for 30 years. It only occurred after Bush and Cheney created an attack in 9/11. And then they made it this absurd psyops that said, since 9/11, we haven't had an attack. Yeah, we've had attacks. We've had attacks by basically a security force that never existed, the TSA, for Homeland Security, which is a misnomer, run by a woman from Arizona who barely could run Arizona and her own border. And now you have incompetency on steroids. So what you really have to do now is to watch our own military say, in effect, quietly, cease and desist to our civilians. I know Obama cannot handle our military. I know, in fact, that Obama is surrounded by sycophants from Chicago, all of whom are ex-Chicago, convicts, pre-convicts, ex-convicts with questionable histories. You know what it does? I'm very happy when he attacks me or you because it opens up daily. It's brothers. It opens up exactly what they did in Chicago. And you, quite frankly, they're messing with the wrong guy. They really don't understand. I'm not that special. I'm just another American who will not tolerate the BS of an organization that's corrupt, deceptive. And at the same time, what they're going to do is they're going to ramp up their ineffectualness and dysfunctionalism. What happens, in effect, if you're not good at telling a lie, you're not going to be good at reversing that lie because you're going to be continuously unthreading these lies by saying, well, that's not the picture. I mean, it's absurd. It becomes so comical that Obama becomes nothing more than an iconic picture of stupidity, incompetence, dysfunctionalism, and self-aggrandizement, which is really what's happening. And he knows that, and he's getting very pissed off every time I'm saying that because it's going right into the White House, and he knows guys like me who've been to the schools that he's been to, and then some, will not tolerate the nonsense he came forth with and made believe that he was that important, that smart. He is not that important. He's not that smart. He's really quite incompetent and has never accomplished anything in his life. So I want the mechanics, the truck drivers, the doctors, every one of us to stand up and say, we've had enough. And I want us to go after Mr. John Yoo, who went in the front page of the New York Times, the man who wrote, a South Korean naturalized in America, who wrote the Patriots Act 5 weeks before we had 9/11 and wrote in the memorandum that we should have torture of our terrorist, so-called terrorist, Mr. Yu, who I attacked on September 12th because I already picked up what he had done. He was unpatriotic, un-American. He has criminal charges against him. He's at the University of Berkeley, and I want the students at Berkeley to protest his presence and refuse to accept their legal degree because he's a lawyer there who's tenured at University of Berkeley, a liberal school run by the Chancellor Robert Bergineau, a Canadian who'd been at MIT for 25 years. This is the beginning of the unraveling and counterbalancing what was happening in 9/11 and the absurdity. John, you came on the front page of the New York Times and said, we are justified in the Bush administration for torturing. Well, John, you should be tortured and should be put in prison so that he understands what happened. I want your public to go in and see John Yu, Y-O-O, and see how many charges have been pressed against him and how now the University of Berkeley, the great liberal school in California, California at Berkeley, has retained him as a tenured professor, and I want the chancellor to fire him. And if the chancellor doesn't, I would like Jerry Brown, the governor, to fire the chancellor because there's no excuse.
All right, I want to go further, though.
The day of retribution comes back 9 years later, my friend.
Well, doctor, they're obviously scared. I mean, a bunch of the torturers went to prison, but then Bush wrote a book last year saying he ordered torture. He'd do it again. Rumsfeld's out promoting it. They're trying to resuscitate torture, lying and saying that torture, enhanced interrogation, rough interrogation, as they Orwellian whitewash it, led to the killing of bin Laden. Then the White House comes out and says, actually, torture didn't lead to this. KSM, of course, confessed to bombing buildings that were built after he was already captured and spent, you know, many years of torture and mind control at Gitmo. So expanding on that, are they trying to resuscitate torture? Because if they can sell our troops on doing that, they can have an army of darkness. Or is it more about trying to not end up down the road going to prison for what they've done?
I think it's more about ending up in ending up in prison. They're too cowardly. Those people who espoused it, Bush Jr. and Cheney, who's never been in the Army. Cheney refused to serve our country 8 times. Do you know that? An alcoholic who was kicked out of Yale for alcoholism, was sent to University of Wisconsin, and his wife, the great neocon, who decided to get pregnant on the 9th time. 8 times I told my general he refused to go to the Army, but he didn't have a problem sending our troops into war. And he said the Vietnam War was not my kind of war. So you're talking about the chicken hawks. These guys should be in prison, should be indicted, but more importantly, you, who wrote that memorandum, should be thrown out, license taken away, but more importantly, Obama's trying to do is to cover up for Bush Jr. so that there's a story, a narrative that seems very consistent, which is absolutely absurd. Torture does not work. I've been in the field 30 years, never had to torture anyone. Never had to touch them, never had to do anything but sit down. And any detective and any policeman in any town knows the following. You sit down, you have a smoke, you have a drink together, you talk, you get a lot more information than torturing. Waterboarding does not work. But if they're not convinced, I'd be happy to waterboard Donald Rumsfeld so that he can explain how he did 9/11. I'd be happy to waterboard Cheney to explain how he did 9/11. I'd waterboard Wolfowitz for 9/11 since he's a coward. And Elliot Abrams, who's the counsel in foreign relations, and he is a total coward, who was also involved in Honduras and Nicaragua and the Contra affair. He's never been held accountable. So we have all of these people who have never been held accountable coming back again like sewage. We have a backup of a sewage system. And now the garbage owner is Obama, and he's just stirring the pot to make sure that everybody gets to be light, and everybody has a narrative that's consistent with suppression, oppression, and he gets reelected. The Republicans are no better, believe me. They are just pathetic. If you look at the entire field, they have nothing to say except platitudes.
Well, the main doctor, and again, we're talking the real-life Jack Ryan folks, you know, co-wrote the books with Clancy, wrote the modern black op system canons that are used. And he's here basically spilling the reality out for people because we're in such crisis, a crisis because the elite like Nero or Caligula is going insane, and they are just putting out more and more bizarre lies. What about the childish media that keeps saying, well, why would Bush not do the fake killing of bin Laden? And then why would Obama, as if they're fighting with each other, when both parties continue to cover up for the crimes of the last administration, and this is all part of that continuity of the military-industrial complex, and then? And then,
well,
I want to get into the point.
Understand what it means to be a news reporter and anchor person. Number one, in order to get information, you have to be egregious to access yourself to the individual you want to write about. So from the very beginning, the media wants to portray itself as an adversary, but really what they are are sycophants. You look at the entire dynamic of the media, which I rarely talk to the press. As
it's fake fights. Fake fights.
They're total sycophants. They basically will call up and say, oh, would you please talk to me really on the record, off the record? You can play games with the media, and I've done it where I've had three different quotations all done by myself, on the record, off the background, deep background. So you play games with them. In the PSYOPs world, we play games with them. In the world of Obama, he needs it in order to feed his ego because he has nothing else. There's nothing else to manipulate except the people in the media who become the news itself. So you have the very personalities in the media talking about themselves, and the people of America getting sick. It's egregious. We're getting sick. I don't want to see every one of them. They have nothing to say. Most of them have never really done anything except read a teleprompter. Having said that, however, there are very brave journalists. I do want to say Anderson Cooper did a very great job in Egypt. The people at CNN, when they were in Tahrir Square, really sacrificed their lives on the line. But for the most part, there are certain guys like Bernie Gwertzman and others whom I've known who've been really brave, who've gotten out in the field, but those days are gone.
All right, Doc, one final segment. Stay there. Amazing. Dr. Steve Pachinik is legendary, and no one knows what he looks like. And he is a humble man. Soon, in the next few weeks, we're going to have him back and just talk about some of the things he can talk about in Black Ops, overthrowing governments, writing the current handbook for Black Ops, psychological warfare, helping found the Delta Force. I mean, it's just one of his exploits you could spend 10 hours on. You could write books. That's why he has 27 New York Times number one bestsellers. Tom Clancy on record, his main advisor. You wonder how it's all done. It's Dr. Pachinik on records telling you who the 9/11 conspirators are, saying he'll go before a federal grand jury. 9 years ago, breaking down the fake bin Laden garbage. It is incredible. In closing, sir, studying Homeland Security. I saw Governor Ridge 8 years ago on a 2-hour C-SPAN program with top CEOs say that they are going to first take over the airports, train us to be, you know, felt up and everything. They'd phase it in. And then they were going to federalize through the fusion centers and roll it out everywhere. Now I've seen CNN announcing naked body scanners to go in the malls. 9,000 locations now have TSA screens, including Walmart's, saying tattle on your neighbors, big right out of 1984. And they are announcing in CBS News that they are now going to prepare at pedestrian malls, shopping centers, and there's a TSA, PSA, showing them in a mall, and that now randomly federal pot-bellied goons are going to wander over and stick their hands down your pants as an act of total submission and domination. As a psychiatrist and expert in this, sir, is this not the martial law rollout without them telling us it's martial law?
Well, in effect, it's a de facto martial law, but basically it's very ineffectual. What happens is that you increase suppression on a domestic population, which has not been in any way disturbed or in any way has been quite content and has not shown any activities of disruption. It's very dangerous. What happens, in effect, you're creating the very disruption that you fear. And once again, the head of Homeland Security really does not understand the dynamics of having security versus having freedom, and neither does the President of the United States. And one of the most important things to understand is our liberties are the most important. We have a very stable society. We've had very little terrorism. We are not going to have terrorism. The terrorism that occurred at 9/11 was because of a president that wanted to go to war. If they insist on putting more so-called security to protect ourselves against ourselves for things that didn't exist, this will be the beginning of the second American Revolution, which in many ways will be very peaceful, but will be very disturbing because Homeland Security and this president's real legacy to America will be the agitation and the disruption and the lies that are continuing. And
well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to start arresting. They're going to start arresting.
They better learn history. They better learn American history, because when we're left alone, we're very fine. But, you know, basically, there are many of us who believe in our rights and will defend it and will go to war the same way I will. The reason I went on your show is I've gone 8 times to war for our country in 8 missions, and I'll go a 9th time, including this one, which I see as an absurd disruption of our democracy and our freedoms. And if they insist that this is what they think is best for national security, then they must pay the price. I render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and I will give it to him. If Obama sees himself as Caesar and denigrates us, then he will go the way of Caesar, as will Homeland Security. There is no other solution, because the more force you will use against peaceful people, it'll come back to hurt them. All they have to look is Egypt, Libya, the Middle East. Those young students can be mobilized here in the United States. They should be, and they will not be tolerating this type of suppression. And they don't understand that now, with the technology that we have and the ability for people like you to reality test this, and then eventually what will happen is they are seeding the seeds of their own destruction. And this is what Obama does not understand. He's not smart enough.
Exactly. The founding fathers finally.
Enough. I mean, one of the key things that people never got to is he's just not very bright. And the fact that they think he went to Harvard doesn't mean anything. I've got more idiots who came from Harvard who don't know how to run a paycheck or don't know how to run a mortgage. I never hire anybody in a business who came out of Harvard Business School. They're just not that bright. It's not an everyday man. But the man has never done anything. So what we have here is the seeds of imperial presidency extended from Bush Jr., before that Clinton, and now we get to the supreme idiocy of a man who really doesn't understand psychological warfare, national security, or war, and has ordered our military to sacrifice its best men and women in a noble cause that they always believe in defending our freedoms, but are really involved in civil action,
I hear you. We're out of time.
No part is doing.
We're out of time,
God
Doctor.
Yep,
stevepochenik.com, stevepochenik.com, links at infowars.com. He'll be back tomorrow and Friday. Stay with us. Stay with us, folks. Prison planet, and we can't get off the planet. It's a great planet. So we're going to expose the globalists, the one-worlders, the communistic New World Order minions, and always charging forward against the enemy as Lord Christopher Monckton. By the way, I haven't been plugging new affiliates. We're getting 3 or 4 a week. We were on the cover of Talkers Magazine as the fastest-growing radio show in the country. I'm the keynote speaker there, along with Sean Hannity, coming up next month. And we got a huge station, one of the top talk stations in Minnesota, KYCR, Big Salem Station, 1570 AM. We're on 3 stations now in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're on 3 stations in Dallas, Fort Worth. We're on several stations in Chicago. Big stations going into Los Angeles. Huge, you know, the big number one station there in Orlando, Miami. This is getting scary. I mean, we are reaching. By the way, I keep saying we reach 2 million a day, and off and on, you know, some listen every day, some listen off and on. Total, I've said 3, 4 million a week just on the AM and FM. It's now over 3 million a day. Number one radio show on the internet, millions a day between the live streams and the 500,000 listening to the podcast, the millions watching us on YouTube. We've got 103 million views just on one YouTube channel, 370 plus million views on all 8 number one on iTunes for radio. I'm not tooting my horn. This is the success of you, the listeners, the success of our guest with the Light of Liberty. I can't believe, and in fact, I'm the opposite of a narcissist. I come off as arrogant and because I'm aggressive and because I'm, as I think it was Lord Nelson said, damn the maneuvers, go straight at them. I mean, I'm so committed to this, I just, I go straight at them. The truth is, I don't like this job. I wish we didn't have to do this. There's a lot of other things I want to do. We have a family ranch and farm for over 100 and, I don't know, since 1830. We bought from the Spanish. And I'd rather be out there. I mean, believe me. But we're here fighting. I'm sure Lord Monckton, scientist, journalist, editor, chief advisor to Margaret Thatcher, has a lot of other things he wants to do. Very accomplished inventor in his own right. UKIP.org. I'm sure he'd rather not have to run for the parliament in Scotland. I'm sure that Nigel Farage would rather not be in the EU parliament, having to hang around with Herman Van Rompuy and Barroso and others calling for world government. But you have to, because if you want to be free and you want to be left alone, you've got to go face the miscreant weevils that want to get into the body politic and eat out our substance. There's been some big developments on the EU trading scheme on carbon credits, attacks on every man, woman, and child, and human respiration, and all fuels that are being used for our industrial society. That's fallen through. This is a great victory. The trading scheme here is falling apart. But they're still trying to enforce it via executive fiat outside of congressional law. But that's being fought by more than 30 attorney generals led by Texas. And our economy is going into a depression. And they're trying to push it into one. 1 in 7 Americans now on food stamps. Stocks sink led by energy prices increasing. They won't let people drill. That's CNBC. That's why we've got Lord Christopher Monckton on right now, today. And there's also a media blackout in Scotland, despite the fact that they're now the second biggest party in the UK. The system is so scared that they keep winning in England, winning in Europe, because you get to obviously have members from England in the EU Parliament, that they're trying to block Lord Christopher Monckton right now from even being heard. So the election's tomorrow. Lord Monckton, thank you for joining us today.
Well, Alex, what a wonderful piece of timing that here I am doing my eve of election broadcast to the people of Scotland via the Alex Jones Show in all those wonderful media where you now have so many tens of millions of viewers, listeners, on every kind of electronic medium. And I'm very glad to be able to do it because I will reach more people in Scotland in this broadcast than I have managed to reach using the mainstream news media here in the UK, even though I'm speaking to you from Edinburgh, overlooking the castle, right at the centre of events, but they will not put me on the air. They have had, for instance, party leaders' debates on television, on both the BBC and Scottish Television, the private independent channel, and neither of them would allow me to take part in the leaders' debates. In fact, when I turned up for the STV one last night, I was escorted out of the building by security. They were so anxious not to allow me to go anywhere near the other party leaders, who, of course, are all in agreement that Europe is wonderful, climate change is terrible, and that therefore we need a world government to take charge of everything and push us around. And the Scottish National Party is planning to cover Scotland in wind farms, which will destroy our scenery, which is our great tourist asset. It'll destroy our great game birds, the golden eagle, the osprey. It's already destroying millions of bats by causing their lungs to implode. And we've now got a report just out here that all of Scotland's windmills, even if they ran for 20 years at their present capacity, would reduce global warming just by 0.00002 Celsius. That's 1/50,000th of a Celsius degree. On top of that, UKIP is the only party which opposes Britain's membership of the European Union and would give Britain's people the choice whether they wanted to stay in this dictatorship, this tyranny by Clark from Brussels, or whether they would like to be a democratic, free and independent nation once again. But once again, the media don't want to let us anywhere near it. But I'm glad to say that the EU and climate change have come together in a bit of a train wreck in the shape of the EU trading scheme, the carbon trading scheme, which has already failed twice. And a new report out today suggests that it is now so corrupt from top to bottom that something like 90% of the trades are fraudulent. There is an incentive to the regulators as well as to both parties to every transaction to maximize the size of the transaction. And guess who ends up paying? The ordinary little guy paying his electricity bill. The pensioner who can't afford to heat her home in the winter when it's really cold and the windmills aren't turning. And she's having to pay these vast levies and subsidies to support these loss-making, useless, climate-irrelevant windmills. And we are the only party that opposes that. We're the only party that opposes the EU and all this carbon trading nonsense. We would close down the climate change department, now costing $30 billion a year just in the UK. That's before you get into the $92 billion a year that the European carbon trading scheme costs. And all of these massive costs are being borne by taxpayers right across Europe. And, of course, Obama would like to do it to you in America as well, if he could. But here in Scotland, UKIP is beginning to make itself felt. Because what's happening is that thanks to your program, Alex, a lot of people are getting to hear about it. And they are beginning to say to each other, you know, isn't it strange that Lord Monckton, who's quite personable, he's quite articulate, is not being allowed to broadcast on any mainstream medium during an election campaign in which his party is one of the largest parties in contention. Isn't it strange that the media are now so biased and so terrified of freedom, so terrified of the truth, that they won't let me anywhere near a microphone or a television camera? It is quite startling, and a lot of people are commenting about it. They're beginning to say, well, look, this really is the end of freedom. If people with different views from the current political establishment
that happen to be very, very popular,
those views at all.
By the way, your views are very, very popular. I've seen the polls where upwards of 80% of Brits don't want the EU to take them over. You've never been given a vote. I see the other polls where most Brits are against the carbon taxes. Same thing with the Scots. Most of the people in Ireland didn't want to be part of the EU till they brought the vote back up over and over again with big PR campaigns. The truth is, your ideas are popular. Your ideas are good. I was talking to Paul Watson, who lives in England and writes for us at prisonplanet.com, and I said, and he made the point, he said, well, I'm not into this whole royal thing, but he said, the point that Monckton makes, Lord Monckton, that you're not even allowed to have the UK flag, much less an English flag, that literally you can only put it out during a royal wedding, or your neighbors think you're racist and the media says that even having your national flag out is evil. And that shows how the system wants to debilitate national sovereignty. So I can see why you were saying it's nice to see flag out there, because this system is so anti-national sovereignty. Watson doesn't lie. Can you speak to that things are so politically correct that it might upset one of the foreigners on welfare if they see national flag, or God forbid, the English flag?
Well, certainly you see national flags much less often than you used to. And the EU actually has a scheme where if it pays some of our money back to us by way of an EU subsidy, say for a windmill or whatever, you have to fly the EU flag and no other flag on or near that project. And if you fly your own flag instead, they can fine you. They can impose financial penalties on Britain for flying its own flag and not flying the EU flag. It is mad. And of course, Alex, you're quite right. They don't like national sovereignty. For why? Because national sovereignty is the guarantee of freedom. That's how we stay free, because we have nations whose governments we elect, or at least that's how it used to work. It still does in America up to a point. It doesn't work at all here in the UK. we have elections. We have more elections than we ever had before. But we're electing people who are powerless. We elect people to the European Parliament. The next one of those comes up in 3 years' time. And the European Parliament cannot even bring forward a bill. It can't propose legislation. We have elections for the Scottish Parliament. And 83% of the bills that it brings forward, it only brings forward because the unelected commissars of the European Union, meeting in secret behind closed doors, have issued a directive which the Scotland's Parliament, just like the Westminster Parliament, is obliged to pass whether it likes it or not. And so we've got this fiction of democracy, all the trappings, all the appearances, parliaments everywhere. But none of these parliaments now has any real power. The power has passed, not forever, I hope, we're trying to get it back, from elected hands here to unelected hands somewhere else.
And the same system,
bureaucracies.
And the same system is being set up all over the world. We have continuity of agenda by the bureaucratic government ruling class that's gotten power through fraud and stealth, just like the SPP documents talk about North American integration by stealth, the Judicial Watch student got 4 years ago. But expanding on the good news, the EU trading scheme collapsing, the U.S. Carbon credit stocks collapsing, looks like Bill Clinton, Al Gore, and all the rest of these weasels are in deep trouble.
I think they are. I think because what has happened is that people have now come to realize what nonsense all this is. I went to some hustings in St. Andrews, which is a wonderful old cathedral city on the coast of Fife, just a couple of days ago, in a 14th century church, and there were all the candidates, including UKIP this time, on the platform. And I asked all the other candidates, I said, right, how many of you think that it's worth spending tens of billions to forestall 1/50,000th of a Celsius degree of temperature of global warming with all these windmills? I said, is there any point in doing that at all? And we're wrecking our countryside, wrecking our tourist industry, flinging our people into poverty, and soon the lights will be going out all over Scotland because these wretched things don't produce any electricity when the wind doesn't blow. And one after another, they all admitted that they'd gone off the idea of all this global warming stuff. And this was very interesting. It was the first time I've seen candidates from all major parties saying, yeah, actually the game's up. It's all over, by the shouting. We're fed up with this nonsense and we are going to stop it. The Scottish National Party, which is most likely to end up as the governing party here in Scotland after the elections, its candidate came closest to saying he wanted it to carry on, because their policy is to at least double the number of windmills all over the place. But even he ended up saying he hoped it wouldn't happen because he could see it was simply no use. And I think what is happening is the debate on the climate now is shifting from the science where everybody can see that global warming simply isn't happening at the rate they predicted. Yes, you know, there's been a little bit of warming over the last 100 years, but it really isn't enough to write home about. It's certainly nothing like enough to match the sort of absurd forecasts we're getting.
And the warming has stopped in the last. And the warming has stopped in the last, and actually gone down a bit in the last 15 years. But this is huge news that more and more of the hoax is collapsing. Even in public, people are peer pressured into saying, oh, yes, the green agenda. I want to hand all my money over to communist and to, you know, crony capitalist on the inside, like Ken Lay, who thought up the trading scheme with Al Gore in 95 on record. They're more and more, they're not towing the line. They're not buying into the hoax because with the population, it's dead. The corrupt system is losing all credibility and bleeding to death.
That's exactly it. Everybody's now pretty much got the point that this one has been oversold. They thought they could use it as an engine to set up a world government. They've put the mechanism of that world government in place in the Cancun Agreement. But I think they're going to find it increasingly hard to get the member states to pay the money they've promised to pay to make this world government happen. I think that's how it's going to be brought to an end. Gradually, as it becomes more and more apparent that the rate of global warming is simply wholly insufficient to match the absurd forecasts we were getting, and as it also becomes apparent that even if it were warming at that rate, our capacity to do anything to stop it warming is just so small you might as well not bother, and the trying to do it is so excessive that you do real harm. That's happening. I think what's also happening, which is very interesting here in Scotland, which is one of the most communistic countries in the world, it's all the major parties up here, the Conservatives, the Labour, the Liberals and the ScotNats, they're all one variety of communist or another, really. They all believe in central planning, central control and so on. But even among the working people now, there's a growing realization that this climate boondoggle means, above all else, financially, an enormous transfer of wealth, not from the rich to the poor, but the other way around. It's from the working classes to the rich landowners who are putting up these windmills and collecting massive subsidies for it. And the working classes having to pay for this through a near doubling over the last 5 years in their electricity bills. And the curious thing is that here is UKIP, which is often seen as a party of the right, and of course we are in fact a party of the radical centre, which is now the only party speaking up for the working
class. Absolutely, stay there. Stay there, sir. Let's come back and talk about that. You've got the bought off left and right. It is the rap.
I hear the train.
Final segment with Lord Christopher Monckton, the UK Independence Party, UKIP.org. And this fight they're having over in England is the same one we're having here. We're trying to break this electronic media blockade. The EU is the heart of the global government dictatorship they're trying to set up. We've got Dr. Tarpley joining us to break down the geopolitical actions against Pakistan. I want to put up on screen the Drudge Report. All this news is also at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Obama, we don't need to spike the football. Top GOP lawmaker, too risky to release bin Laden death probe photos. Too bad they threw him in the ocean, huh? And the Easter Bunny, too. Conspiracy theorist will just claim photos doctored anyway. Quote from Obama. Senator Brown, I've seen the pictures. He's definitely dead. You know that's going to leak. Boehner, I don't need to see it. Yesterday, Panetta said the photo was coming. This is just amazing. That's all coming up. Lord Monckton, we have more and more healthy skepticism. They call it a conspiracy theory whenever you don't believe whatever Pachauri said when they said they had all these studies proving the Himalayas were melting. Turned out it was a photo student who had just claimed it. It turns out that everything they've said upon inspection is just manifest baloney. Are we talking about these guys ever getting in any trouble for what they've done, or do they just have a collection of kangaroo establishment bureaucratic courts that remove any blame from them?
I think you're certainly right about the removal of the blame, because we had three inquiries in the UK into the Climategate affair, where tens of thousands of emails between the small number of conspirators who are really driving this scare came to light and became public a couple of years ago. And these inquiries were the most extraordinary whitewash. We had one by a fellow called Lord Oxborough, who turned out to have, but didn't declare, a conflict of interest in that he is in charge of one of these green businesses and was making a lot of money out of it. And he then was supposed to do what was called a scientific assessment panel. And his very short report starts out with the immortal words, "This scientific assessment panel does not see itself as being a panel whose job is to assess the science." And they deliberately looked the other way at all these ludicrous mistakes and errors and deliberate wrongdoings among the scientists. So, yes, they're all covering up for each other like mad. And as the scare collapses, they're getting more and more desperate to cover it up. And, of course, we do now have at least one attorney general, that's in Virginia, who is actually thinking of conducting a criminal prosecution under the Fraud Against Taxpayers Act of the year 2000 in Virginia because of a bogus graph that made its way into the 2001 IPCC report. And that graph was so bogus that the Attorney General thought he would investigate. And so he said to the university, "I want all the documentation to do with the production of this graph turned over to us so that we can have it independently examined. And the university, which had willingly turned over material by another of its alumni who disagreed with global warming when the Greens challenged him, suddenly went all moral and said, well, we can't possibly be handing over data from this particular scientist. That would constitute a gross breach of academic freedom. And they're refusing to hand over the document. So, yes, the prosecutors now are on the march. And eventually, I think heads will begin to roll. Those who have improperly made millions or even billions out of this scam are going to regret that they ever had anything to do with it. Because there's going to be, I'm sure this is going to happen in country after country, there are going to be major inquiries to find out why it was that the more or less the entire governing class worldwide decided to go along with this. And, of course, the reason why they did was they were getting rich by it. This is a
and they're seizing the entire energy and they're seizing the entire energy infrastructure. Well, I hope you have a good showing to continue to build the party in Scotland tomorrow. UKIP.org. Lord Christopher Monckton, thank you for joining us. Webster Griffin Tarpley and the latest on the Bin Laden hoax coming up. Webster Griffin Tarpley just left a TV studio. Dr. Tarpley will be joining us coming up in the next segment via cell phone from the streets of Washington, D.C. I already had Lord Monckton set up to talk about the Greenies and their seizure, their attempted seizure of the infrastructure, so we had him on for that 30-minute respite from the Bin Laden hoax. Now, a lot of things we're being distracted from. Is the dollar mega-plunging, stock market mega-plunging today? Chinese dumping more T-bills, more monetization of debt, gas prices exploding. You notice they killed Bin Laden, and now they're telling you we're going to even have more hands down the pants. We're going to have checkpoints on the side of the road. In fact, we have that CBS News piece up. I want to play part of this so you can hear it for yourself. Oh, there's counterstrikes by Al-Qaeda and Zarqawi and Gaddan, all trained in the U.S., all U.S. government on record. This is all public. They're going to attack us, so the government has to stick its hands down your pants, and now they want to be at all of the shopping malls. Now they want to, here's the headline. Security checkpoints near soft targets may soon become the norm. We'll break down all the Bin Laden stuff. It's totally disintegrating when we come back from this quick break. But counterterrorism experts say the retaliation attack of Osama Bin Laden's death is inevitable. And the news is saying nuke attacks are inevitable. AP last week. Terrorists are expected to aim for more vulnerable soft targets like shopping malls and museums. See how this works? Oh, the airports. We got to turn those into a prison. Oh, now the schools, the colleges. Oh, the Walmart. Oh, the highway. I mean, this is insane. And then Al-Qaeda might try to hit a farmhouse. We've got to search you on the little farm road just randomly. And the whole economy shifts. And the millions intelligence contractors and it's their business. The military industrial complex owned by the big banks is eating America. Do we have that CBS clip? I'll take that as a yes. We'll go ahead and play a clip of this. Here it is.
Terrorism experts say a retaliation attack for Osama bin Laden's death is inevitable. Terrorists are expected to aim for more vulnerable soft targets like shopping malls, even museums. CBS 2's Hazel Sanchez reports.
They are places jam-packed with people, pedestrian malls, shopping centers, and stadiums.
Yeah, I feel safe, but of course, in the back of my head, I know that things can happen.
Counterterrorism expert Yuval Aviv says terrorists seeking revenge for Osama bin Laden's death will turn to attacks less dramatic than the destruction on September 11th, focusing instead on soft targets like hotels, places of worship, and mass transit hubs.
It's easier, less complicated for them to carry out. What they're going to achieve, if they're successful, is to kill as many people as possible.
Security consultant David Bohm says the future could include security checkpoints entering all soft targets, like your local department store. Bohm says even with a police presence, the areas are vulnerable.
The reason they're called soft is because it's so easily accessible to anyone. There has to be security
that's enough
for the safety of all people.
Now, there's the local cops. They're the Israeli security expert. They show New York, the model, troops, Hercules teams, cops in black uniforms with dogs and machine guns. And they're saying everywhere is going to have security checkpoints. You go into Target, you go into Walmart, and this is going to go in everywhere. And this is going to be the new job. This is going to be the new scholarship degree when you go to college. This is the new system. Remember Obama during his State of the Union this year? He said, don't worry. Now you're going to be able to ride on these new trains, these bullet trains we're going to put up all over the country, and you won't get groped by the TSA. You won't have to go through the scanners. Folks, it's always been their plan to take over all of society. And, oh, we got bin Laden. Now what's in New York is going to have to go everywhere. New York, you're driving down the road. They just randomly set up a checkpoint and search people. Training your kids how to be little prisoners and sticking their hands down their pants. This is martial law without the name. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, literally hundreds and hundreds of magazines, newspapers, the Washington Post, the Pittsburgh Gazette, Slate, they are all attacking us right now, myself by name. And here's one out of the Post Gazette called, "It's Time for Conspiracy Theorists to Shut Up." And I was on National British Radio last night, and a guy called in, sounded like PSYOPs, and said, "You're an extremist, you know. You need to, you know, this stuff's against the law," criticizing the government fables. "It's time for conspiracy theorists to shut up," says Reg Henry. And he had to be listening to the show today. This just came out about an hour ago, because this is everything I said at the start of the first hour, that they covered up Jessica Lynch, had Jerry Bruckheimer produce it. I'm not just saying that. That was all staged with Jerry Bruckheimer. And then when the team, the survivors, exposed that she cowered and it was all fake and that the hospital was already taken by U.S. forces and they did a fake raid on it, five of them were killed very quickly. Double tapped in the head and stuff here in the U.S., drowned, murdered, suspiciously dying. I brought up Pat Tillman and how they murdered him. And he says, Pat Tillman was killed by friendly fire, not by hostile fire, in the initial Pentagon story. But he did leave his professional football career for 9/11 and did die for his country. He goes on to say, yeah, Jessica Lynch may not have been Rambo woman. That's what I called her a few hours ago. He must have just banged this out. And it says, it's time for conspiracy theorists to shut up. And he goes after me. We're going to Webster Tarpley, Dr. Tarpley, here in a moment. It says, meanwhile, over the website of syndicated radio host Alex Jones, styled Infowars.com, because there's a war on for your mind, a great froth of conspiracy was brewing. Sample headline, Obama shamefully exploits bin Laden fairy tale and transparent PR stunt. People who have lost their minds in the info war will believe this. And he goes on. We're going to be breaking all this down at the bottom of the hour after Dr. Tarpley leaves us. And then we go into retransmission. It'll be back to the latest live interview with Dr. Steve Pachinik today. But the big news here is that the story has changed more than 20 times now. And there's even headlines here out of Atlantic Monthly saying that they're totally losing credibility. Atlantic Monthly yesterday savaged yours truly and said I was basically a delusional fruitcake to Jeff Goldberg, the Israeli guy. But then this continues. Today their head editor came out and said the slippery slope of the bin Laden kill and basically said that nobody's buying this. And I monitored talk radio last night and today. The liberals and conservatives, 7 out of 10, I was taking notes, called in, none of them are buying it, 70%. This is a complete rout. The Drudge Report is now shifting towards reality, which is fine. They had to kind of, as objective journalists, go with what was being said and show both sides. But now Panetta says the photo's coming out, then it's not coming out. Obama responds and says, oh, I'm not going to release a photo. The conspiracy theorists won't believe it anyways. This is a complete, they put out a fake photo Sunday night in all the major papers, and Monday kind of quietly said, oh no, it's fake, but I'm sent it. People that work here are sent it by people that are in their families, military people, saying, no, this is a real photo. See, that's how psyops work. They're targeting weak-minded. They are still believing the fake one from 3 days ago is real. Now, they won't release the new fake one. We said a month ago, 2 months ago, repeatedly with Tarpley, they're getting ready to frame Pakistan to start a new war with them. 3 weeks ago, they caught the CIA guy. They said it wasn't, and they had to admit it was, trying to give uranium to some of their operatives to then blame it on the Pakistani government. I mean, the setup is on, and Tarpley really called it months ago with Saudi Arabia running for support with the nuclear-powered Pakistan. General Gul, former head of Pakistani intelligence, former head of the Taliban, Mujahideen, confirmed what Tarpley's saying. Steve Pachinik, super high-powered in the system, one of the top black op, psyop people of the modern age, totally agrees it's all staged. So we're now learning nothing we were told was basically true. Well, no kidding. Bin Laden was dead a long time ago of kidney failure from the good sources we had, and we're on record saying that. Webster Tarpley, what is happening here? A, what was the point of the psyop? B, how is the PSYOP going? Do you concur that it is turning into a complete blow-up-in-the-face rout of the system?
Well, I certainly think that the contradictions and the clowning and bungling of the Obama White House has helped a lot of people to see that this was a manufactured story. We have to remember that this pseudo-Bin Laden, right, we're talking about the alleged death of a pseudo-Bin Laden, because we know nothing. There's nothing substantiated, nothing proven in this, but that is simple. That's the life of Bin Laden. He died as he lived, in a sense. Never anything proven about him. There's all the things you think you know about him, be it the 9/11 stuff, right? The hijackers, all the rest of this stuff. These are simply assertions of the FBI at the time. And if you go back to the famous speech of FBI Director Mueller in the Cosmos Club of the Cosmopolitan Club, the Commonwealth Club of San Francisco in 2002, he said that in all running around in Afghanistan that the U.S. had done, not one scrap of evidence had ever come to the surface connecting anything in Afghanistan to 9/11. So this is simply an exercise in mass brainwashing. Now, we used to think that the neocons were the greatest liars of the age, but they have now been eclipsed by Obama and his soft power group. And what is, I think, disturbing is a lot of the left-wing elites, the people who used to be peacenicks when it was a question of Bush and Cheney at war, have now become warmongers. And you're seeing the entire left liberal community going, as I had feared 3 years ago, from being opponents of military adventurism to becoming the leading edge with the bloodthirsty rhetoric. Now, the timing, I think, has everything to do with what you've just mentioned. The attempt by Saudi Arabia and Pakistan to join together and make a joint escape or jailbreak from the U.S.-British world empire, it seems to me, is the reason for this. Remember, they have invested hundreds of billions of dollars in building up Bin Laden as a figure to disorient and confuse people in the Arab and Islamic worlds. They don't liquidate this from one day to the next for no reason. So it's an extreme situation, a desperate situation.
They've actually tried to manufacture in the last 15 years their own opposition. And I noticed the new four leaders of Al-Qaeda, three of them are admittedly born in the U.S., and two of them you can 100% prove work for Western intelligence. I mean, this is getting so cartoonish, Webster.
Well, you have, I guess it comes down now to a fight between Awlaki, Anwar Awlaki of New Mexico, known in the trade as Awlaki, the CIA lackey, versus Ayman Zawahiri of MI6. So we've got a CIA candidate and an MI6 candidate, and nothing good to be expected from it. It's clear that Bin Laden, the biological Bin Laden, has been dead for a long time. What you've had in the meantime is a kind of theater company, puts out audio tapes, videotapes. The doubles that they use have not been very consistent. We've had a fat bin Laden, a thin bin Laden, an angry bin Laden, a jovial bin Laden.
We've had old recut tapes of when he was alive. The CIA has admitted May 25th, 2010, Spy Talk, Washington Post, that, yeah, we made some fake videos, trying to basically put that out the back door in case it ever comes out in a big way later. Also, the re-election launch bid. But Webster, I want to continue why they're doing this, why they're going after Pakistan right now. But first, before we get into more detail there, how is it going, studying what's happening with them? How is this going for the power structure right now?
Well, obviously, there's a lot of international attention to the bungling side of it. But in terms of the overall judgment, this is not clear, because we have to remember that the main problem now is that the danger of the false flag terror attack attributed to this. As we went into the weekend, or at the middle of the weekend, by Saturday night, the danger was a false flag terror attack attributed to Libya, pinned on Libya in the wake of the attempt to assassinate Gaddafi, and indeed the assassination of his son and three grandchildren, little kids. Now, as of Sunday, the main danger shifts to a false flag terror attack, possibly attributed to Al-Qaeda, but you also have CIA spokesmen, informal ones, coming forward to say there will be a new terror attack, we would say a false flag event, with the attempt to attribute this to the Inter-Services Intelligence Service of Pakistan, the Pakistani version of the CIA. So I think right now it's maximum alert. And remember, the key to all this is when drills go live, when exercises are flipped live and taken live, this is when these tragic events occur. The buildup in regard to Pakistan, there was a very harsh statement by the United States in one of these terror reports about 4 to 5 weeks ago, about the time that Bandar went to Islamabad. We then had this Ray Davis case, which you point out, with a lot of accusations being made in the Pakistani media about possible activities as a terror controller and possible involvement in the attempt to create a radiological dirty bomb. Let's think about that, because that may be the template that's going to be used.
Then they say we've got to go in and have war and take the nukes away from Pakistan. But expanding on that, first they said Davis wasn't CIA. Later they had to admit he is CIA. So just this continued wall of deception, and the system is losing all credibility as they're caught in more lies.
Certainly, on the international level, this is for sure. We also then had this this question of Admiral Mullen going to Pakistan and saying, you guys work with the Haqqani network, you're no good. And then we had WikiLeaks, the famous CIA limited hangout operation, putting out all this stuff about how the center of gravity of Al-Qaeda is really in Pakistan. So WikiLeaks doing its job for the CIA once again.
Absolutely. Stay there, Webster. I want to break down this looming maximum alert false flag. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is not some fancy of radio that we're here. Ooh, the maximum alert is here. I totally agree with Webster Tarpley. This weekend, Tarpley was here during the week, but this weekend we had another person here in town to be interviewed for a film, and we were all in there eating barbecue, and I said, I feel the greatest disturbance in my gut I've ever felt. And I told my wife, I told people in the office, I said, I think it's war. And obviously you study intellectual information, and then basically your subconscious analyzes it and is more powerful than your conscious and tells you, man, this is bad. But I was able from the chatter pre-9/11 to predict that they would blow up the World Trade Centers and blame it on their CIA asset bin Laden, because I saw the pre-programming. It was very obvious. They are in CBS News everywhere. They put out news last month that Al-Qaeda's got nukes buried. WikiLeaks, that they're going to detonate nukes in Europe and the U.S. if he's killed. That comes out right before. I mean, come on. Folks, it's the scripting. It's like watching a bad drama. It's so fake. And you can just see it all happening. So when Webster Tarpley's telling you this, they're already hyping. And notice the circular logic. We go into the Middle East, Bin Laden attacks us. We have a 10-year war. It's actually several trillion that have been spent, hundreds of billions domestically. Every year, it's not hundreds of billions. It's in the trillions now overall in the aggregate. And the circular logic is now we kill him, and now here's the new four Bin Ladens. You cut one head of the snake, four more. And on record, a whole bunch of them are globalist. I mean, on record at the Pentagon. And now we're going to have to kill them, and then there'll be even more terror attacks, and it just never ends. And Webster, they're on CBS News, you name it, saying now there are going to be checkpoints at all the malls, grocery stores. Everyone will have to be searched. I mean, this is again, to heighten the paranoia, Webster.
Well, we have now a situation where the U.S.-British imperialism, it doesn't really have an enemy image. And this, of course, is something they always want to have. For quite a while, it was the Soviet Union and world communism and the Warsaw Pact, or maybe Red China. Then it became, of course, Bin Laden and terrorism.
So they have to attack us again to introduce the new Bin Laden.
Yeah, some new enemy image has to be fabricated fairly quickly, given especially the tremendous economic and social crisis in this country. I'm interested to hear what you say, Alex, because my feeling is, Sarajevo, 22nd of June, 1914, right, this assassination of an Austrian archduke by Serbs, egged on by the British and some French. And then 5 weeks later, you have the outbreak of World War One, the catastrophe. And in that period of 5 to 6 weeks, people write that they were living in a trance, they were in a dream world, they thought that the problem had been solved. They didn't think that there would be any general war, and precisely when they were most in the land of dreams and la-la land, that's when the mobilization started and the war became a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, I think right now, if people don't get the word out, and tell, we're probably going to have World War III, and I want to come back briefly or start now how that's going to unfold, obviously. They strike Pakistan, claiming they're trying to get the nukes. They're now framing Pakistan, as you said months ago they would do, claiming they're working with Al-Qaeda. Then the Chinese get involved, the Indians come in, and the Middle East blows up even more, right as the dollar's plunging. I mean, you can see all the classic ingredients. As you've right. said, when the dollar starts going down, they start a war, and then they're going to blow up a bunch of stuff domestically. Crack down on the media and say, we got to arrest people that say the government's doing it, and pull the plug on the web, the internet kill switch, and then all the good old boys will be worshiping Obama, and that's it. And the bankers win, and we're all enslaved, and the FEMA camps are opened up.
This is the moment when something like a general strike would normally come to mind as perhaps the only adequate the adequate response. In other words, a mass movement against the possibility of imminent war. The problem we have right now is that the left liberal opposition, the main forces of the peace movement that were deployed against Bush and Cheney up until 2007 or so, have now switched over into the warmonger camp. And if you watch the programs on MSNBC, if you watch the foundation-funded leftists who were such great enemies of Bush and Cheney, they are now bloodthirsty warmongers. They're calling for, essentially, attacks on Pakistan, or they're setting the stage for that. And we should remember, Pakistan is a huge country. It's almost 200 million people. There are nuclear weapons. And it just so happens that the supply line for the U.S. forces in Afghanistan goes across Pakistan, from the port of Karachi up through Pakistan, across the Khyber Pass. That is a supply.
Webster, let's talk about the time frame. I mean, is this a bluff to get the Saudis to go back and grovel to the Anglo-American establishment? How's it going to end? How could World War III start? Where do you think they'll launch their false flag and teach us to love them?
Cyrus Jones from 1810 to 1913 made his great-grandchildren.
You know, I don't want to get into a distraction here about media events that I've been part of. We're not playing most of the TV interviews here I've done in the last few days. But one in particular, and we'll get the whole thing up on Infowars.com, but I'll have one of my great webmasters out there post this Alex Jones and Osama video, but we're about to play it. for the radio listeners and TV viewers at PrisonPlanet.tv here in a moment, but we'll also get it up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Just post the whole thing. It's short. And it says that the interview is disastrous. Hartman is totally outmatched and unable to lead Jones down the path he carves out and get him to criticize anything from a partisan perspective. Because they want to make it, oh, Republicans don't believe the Bin Laden hoax, to then get Democrats tribally in identity think to go, oh, we now believe the hoax. We now identify with the war, like that rent-a-mob of mindless patsies, the flash mob out there that could hardly talk. We've got the video on the website saying, we love, oh, we'll kill Saddam. We killed Saddam. And they're like, Luke Radowski's like, it's Bin Laden. Him too. I mean, it is just idiocy. They're trying to get them like baby chicks or baby geese, goslings, to identify. Because when a chick hatches out or a gosling, they'll identify with someone in a goblin outfit with a red ball, whatever they see first, a dog, a person, and follow you around and worship you. So they're like, you know, oh, the war, torture, secret arrest, World War III is coming, you're going to get drafted. We're setting up FEMA camps, little goslings. Yeah, look, you love Obama, you've put your identity into him, you feel like he's getting beat up right now. Well, guess what? Torture and secret arrest and World War III are kind of sexy. And the goslings are, you know, chirp, 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 like a bunch of idiots. And they did not like it that I was leading the goslings, you know, to reality and to, you know, grow up and not be slaves and, you know, to actually, well, you see my point, Webster. And this Hartman guy melted down, just throwing PSYOP distractions in. And I called him. I said, it's a PSYOP. And he got this look on his face because they're following a handbook. And then I was on Inside Edition today. It was the same handbook. I mean, these guys are really revealing themselves. And we're having that moment where the facade is just falling everywhere, Webster. But you know why people instinctively know World War III is about to happen? Depression. Folks, if we don't get the word out on these people, it's over. And then where will the chicken neck Hartman be? Hartman, do you really want to help the globalists launch World War III? Tarpley, what's your view?
Good question, Alex. Remember, the left liberals always believed in and needed the 9/11 myth even more than Bush and Cheney. Bush and Cheney were, of course, they built their house on 9/11 and the myth of Bin Laden as the enemy image. But before too long, they shifted off. They had Saddam Hussein. They had Iraq. They had all sorts of other things. Whereas the left liberals stuck with the myth about 9/11. And this is the roots of this, what we see with Obama, right? That Iraq was the bad war and the mistaken war, but Afghanistan, of course, was the good war that had to be escalated. And that's, of course, what he's been doing. And it's clear to us that the real purpose of the Afghan war is to attack Pakistan, to export the Afghan civil war into Pakistan. Also for a deeper reason, that the left liberal wanted to believe that this group of Arab terrorists had been able to bring the United States to its knees, because this was the blowback thesis. They wanted to believe in the blowback thesis, which is a way of saying,
and America deserved it.
Yes, exactly.
That was the Ward Churchill tripe about the 3,000 exactly. That died were little Eichmanns, those little kids visiting mommy, the secretary. They deserved it.
Exactly. So there's a deep emotional need to believe in the myth, because the idea is that just punishment was meted out to the United States on 9/11. This is, of course, absolute baloney. There is no collective guilt. This was done by a network. The American people do not bear the collective guilt for this in any way. And, of course, the irony with Bin Laden is that how many battles did he fight after his death, right? The best guess is that he died somewhere between 2001 and 2002. This is what the Pakistani government has said. It's been announced by FBI officials and others in these little red press things.
Who was the British main minister, Robin Page? A week after he went public, he had the heart attack and died, correct? That's the name on him.
Robin Cook.
Actually, I had his statements printed out yesterday and then lost them, and I can't keep all the names straight. We also had Sybil Edmonds. We had Benazir Bhutto, the president. She said it. They killed her. I mean, they kill major government people when they touch this myth, because they had a special narrative to unwind later.
Well, unfortunately, it just doesn't add up, right? And you have to be very gullible to believe the greatest liars of the age when they come with another one after all the ones you've mentioned. Remember the Spanish hero El Cid, played in the movies by Charlton Heston, the guy who fights his last battle when he's already dead? They strap him into a horse.
Yeah, he's been shot in the chest with an arrow. Excellent movie.
Exactly. It looks like, of course, that was a couple of days at most after the actual death. With bin Laden, he's still fighting battles 9 or 10 years after his alleged great feat. But, of course, it's all the tissue of lies. And I would tell people, don't get involved in the internal contradictions of this, because it's all invented beginning to end.
Exactly. They add all the admitted many lies and stories to make you accept the larger system. Oh, well, it's only these lies, fog of war, right, instead of the whole thing being a ridiculous cornucopia of baloney.
The entire method of the, I guess it's Hamilton, the Kane-Hamilton Commission, right, the National 9/11 Commission, their method was simply to assume what they were supposed to prove. In other words, they started from the idea that bin Laden and al-Qaeda did it, and then they took it from there. That is a logical
sure. Webster, I got to stop you. Bottom line, we'll get you back up either in the next few days or next week as this develops. They're saying it's a certainty we're going to be hit. Nukes. Are the globalists capable of even setting off a nuke? Where do you expect them to hit? What's the time frame? Do we call Congress, as I did in July of 2001, and say, don't stage the false flag? Do we call the White House right now?
I think it's important, to, as you say, to spread the word in any possible way, to inoculate people that if a false flag takes place, especially if it's attributed to Pakistan, the ISI, or any of the other factors that might be brought in, that this is axiomatically not to be believed. In other words, it's time to stop being gullible, or we will all have a hard time continuing to exist. But remember, what they're responding to is a tectonic shift in the world, that all of these countries, from Saudi Arabia to Pakistan, are interested in realigning with Russia, with China, with all kinds of other countries. And this is now there's a general jailbreak going on out in the world, of which you hear almost nothing in the media.
Webster, I've got to stop you again because we've got to go to this video, but I just want to say this. Of everybody we've interviewed, you have been the most accurate, frighteningly so. I mean, two, 3 months? It was longer than that. You said, watch Pakistan. It's next. They're going to try to blame them for terror. You broke down that they would try to connect things through these networks. You said a Lockheed, I remember 8 years ago, was CIA. Now it's admitted. And you've really had your finger on the pulse. And that's what's so frightening is Gould agrees with you, Hamid Gould, General Gould, Steve Pachinik, Dr. Pachinik. I mean, and you can see them saying, oh, Pakistan's got a lot of splaining to do. I mean, you can really see, as the RAND Corporation said 2 years ago, they want a new world war, and it's on. I mean, it's on like Donkey Kong, as the kids properly have said in the last decade. The kids, well, get to be an old man here, folks. The youngins. I do sound like my grandpa now. But the point is that it is on. I mean, it is coming down, and I'm not, folks. I'm begging the listeners, people in government, media. I mean, a lot of times I'll be talking to these reporters when there's, and I say, look, this isn't funny. You come on, you know they lie. You understand how dangerous this is. We are at a historic crossroads, and if you can't feel it in your gut or even see it intellectually, when it all comes down, remember I told you again. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they're fully capable of vaporizing the Sears Tower with a low-yield nuclear device. Okay, just like 9/11, I told you what they were going to hit. Okay, I can see into their eyes. I can see into their soul. I can study them. I know the enemy. And as you know yourself, I can see them bombing the Eiffel Tower. I can, unholy hell is being prepared. Okay, they are about to launch what's going to trigger World War III. And then they've got their bunkers, everything built. They've got their secret police grids. They've been running around to every professional in the country, including my dad, other dentists he knows, saying, will you spy on people for us? They've set up the grid. They're announcing on the news that TSA people are going to be sticking their hands down your pants now at the mall. This is martial law. This is Red Dawn. They are the terrorists. They are the foreign bankers that did this. Get it, folks. This is real. We were right. We know what we're talking about. Webster Tarpley, it's time to come to Jesus. It's time for folks to have that moment. It's time for them to wake up. Your final comments.
Well, my advice, as always, get active or get radioactive. Remember, the old Italian proverb says, lies have short legs. They don't last long. And you can't reorganize world affairs around a tissue of lies. So I recommend people get busy and get the truth out and don't fall for these crazy stories. Don't be stampeded. That's what President Eisenhower said in the wake of the Kennedy assassination. Don't be stampeded. That's good advice right now.
Well, you said it, but they are. The lies do have short legs like a wiener dog, but at the end of the day, they only need to carry us so far in our hype. Ooh, America, USA, USA. Boom, we get hit. America was hit after getting bin Laden. That's when the tactical nukes hit Islamabad. I mean, you can see the script and Obama up there at the photo op and the good old boys going, I like Obama now. And it's the Blitz syndrome where when we get bombed, we get angry. And it's all sleight of hand so they can finish destroying the country.
One other thing, though. There may be countervailing forces within the United States government. In other words, the network that wants this apocalyptic event that we seem to be seeing in front of us, they may not have the entire say. There may be some other faction that says, no, we'd rather not be involved in the thermonuclear confrontation with Russia and China and everything else that this would mean. We'd rather pull back from the brink and take some other approach. Don't exclude that possibility, because I think it's real.
Why do you think Steve Pachinik, who is a former black ops, psyops dean, he's the Jack Ryan character on record, helps write Clancy's books, worked for Kissinger, all the other big kingmakers, Baker. Why do you think he would come on my show, contact me, in 2002, saying he died of renal failure. They're going to roll him out later. Then Albright came out and confirmed that. But the point is, now he comes back on and says, Bush, Cheney did 9/11. I know a top general who was in there. I'm ready to testify in federal court. Call me. This is a guy no one even has his photo. And he's coming out because he says, yes, we're on the verge of total meltdown of everything. Clearly things are getting crazy.
Perhaps this illustrates what I was trying to point to. He may indeed, I'd have to study the particular case more closely, but he may indeed represent the kind of phenomenon that might occur at this point. In other words, a more rational faction which does not want to go into the abyss of some kind of a strategic adventure and a world conflagration.
But it's almost like German high command that didn't want to go into Russia, but then Hitler was actually running things so they could... But there is no head of this. It's a bunch of addled oligarchs when they're not, taking ballet lessons from Rahm Emanuel together and having their valets service them, their male valets. They're prancing around preparing World War III. I mean, how do you stop a group of demonic zombies?
Well, that's where the getting the word out, in other words, making the perspective absolutely clear that this is not going to be a cakewalk, which is what they tell themselves, that the potential here is for military action that would not be a one-way street. In other words, it would mean losses for the aggressor, assuming the United States is taking that role, that it's fraught with danger, and that the intelligent thing to do is not to jump over the edge of this cliff and then see what happens.
Well, that's what Pachinik said. He said all this domestic police state is going to trigger resistance. And at the same time, if they left these other countries alone, they wouldn't run away from the Anglo-Americans. They've totally lost the soft power. They think they're covered because the liberal and conservative flanks love war, get off on it at a subconscious level because of their impotence in their soul. And it's a perfect storm. Folks, I feel the disaster coming. I just want to tell you right now. And you better pray to God, and you better get involved, because trust in God, but tie up your camel, as the Bedouins say. Webster, great talking to you. Be safe there.
My final advice, let us work now while it is called the day, for the night cometh in which no man can work, and no woman either.
Yeah, thank you. Boy, I'm getting chills. And I'm going to take a few days off in the middle of this. I was already planning it for months, and they're going to have fill-in hosts, Watson and Aaron Dykes. They'll do a great job. I've got to get away. I'm tempted. I mean, I wish months ago I wanted to, like, go to the hills and sit in a cabin for a month and really get my mind ready for all this, because I need to be focused like never before. We're in such a leadership position here, and I couldn't do it without your support, listeners. I couldn't do it without my great crew, the wonderful job they do. And they realize the incredible historical events that are happening and that we are at the tip of the spear. I hope all of you out there listening realize how important you are in this historical fight. We've only got about 11 minutes left. This is a 9-minute clip. This was Tom Hartman, who always acted like a nice guy, pretty fair on his radio show, Radio America. Or, what's it called? What's the liberal radio network called? Air America. Thank you. And he totally flip-flopped lately when I've gone on his show in a cartoonish way. He had a really cartoonish intro to it where he made fun of everybody. That's not on this clip they released. But here it is. And Slate and others say that it was a complete rout and I destroyed him. And I did, because he's not in reality. I am. And he's trying to say that I'm not in reality because I don't drink their Kool-Aid and lies. The world's waking up. Got it? We see through you. Emperor has no clothes. Here it is.
The deathers are spreading. You know, all those people who think that Osama bin Laden's takedown mission was actually fake and that bin Laden was actually, or is actually, still alive, or was dead a long time ago and frozen. At least they'll think that way until they see the long-form body. Even then, I'm sure they'll find some other theory, conspiracy theory, to hang on to. For a one-stop shop for all your deather needs, log on to WorldNet Daily. Take a look at some of the headlines on the website today. Osama DNA analyzed within 24 hours? Right. DNA evidence must be a lie. Not everyone believes bin Laden really dead. That one speaks for itself. Burial at sea upsets relatives of 9/11 victims, as in what President Obama really did was anger 9/11 victims, not kill bin Laden. And then there was a WorldNet Daily poll in which visitors were asked to sound off on the death of Osama bin Laden. The most popular response in the poll, garnering 28% of the vote,
see,
was...
See, straw man's
the
here.
The timing of Obama's order was...
From a Republican angle, like I'm a Republican.
Eligibility troubles.
He introduces this first.
Response, since it combines deatherism and birtherism. And the fourth place response, with 7% of the vote, was, I'm skeptical bin Laden is actually dead. Figures. Here was radio host Alex Jones' take on bin Laden's death yesterday on this network.
Osama bin Laden, according to two White House sources, and I'm on record with this, and another State Department source, and we have one of the names is public, in 2002, saying he died, he's frozen, literally frozen, and that he would be rolled out in the future at some date. Then Madeleine Albright in 2003.
Alex joins me now to talk more about this pressing issue. He's a filmmaker, author, and investigative journalist, and host of the Alex Jones Radio Show. Alex, welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'd like to just make two central points here. Number one, the CIA last May 25th in Spy Talk in the Washington Post, two unnamed high-level CIA sources told the paper they did make fake bin Laden videos. Those were fake. The famous ones weren't even good. Computer renditions, linguists and others had listened to the voice and didn't even pass the voice.
That doesn't mean bin Laden was frozen. That means that, you know, Bush was running a PR campaign trying to scare the hell out of us.
Well, expanding on that, the point is that they do make fake videos, and they're going to be releasing those fake photos probably tomorrow, so there is a history. And you guys make it all partisan. It was Madeleine Albright on Fox News and CNN in 2003 that said the word was he was frozen and was going to be rolled out. That's part of the record. It was Walter Cronkite. It was Teresa Hines Carey that came out, and the word was Bush was planning to do that, but because they put that out, he backed off.
Okay, so why would
the wars?
Is that the torture? Are you suggesting, Alex, that that's the reason that I mean, this is just the idea that the Bush administration had bin Laden's body all these years frozen, and any time, like 3 weeks before the election, to help out John McCain, they could have rolled that thing out and said, "Hey, look at this, we just got it." But now they're letting Obama take credit for it. I don't get it.
Well, Dr. Steve Pachinik, who served under Baker, Kissinger, and others as the deputy secretary of state in those departments came on my show first in 2002 in April and said this. And then I did talk to a White House source, high level, well known here in Austin, Texas, and then through another trusted media source who talked to another person in the White House that is the case. And we've seen all the dirty tricks.
I believe that a lot of people told you this or told you that they knew somebody who told you this. I'm just wondering why. Why would, you know, if...
Well, they needed to, let me answer your question. They needed to keep the myth of bin Laden alive, for the next 7, 8, 9 years. If they had admitted that he was dead, then they wouldn't be able to teach school kids to be afraid of him and that he was under the table. So the TSA needs to stick their hands down.
Right, but again, why give
pants.
Obama the credit for this? Why not? But okay, we've gone around.
No, why give him credit? Times. Because this is I'm not partisan with this. Sure, the Tea Party doesn't believe it. Breitbart doesn't believe it. WorldNet Daily's having questions.
I'm not suggesting you are.
That's their issue. My issue is I'm on record 9 years ago with this information. I'm nonpartisan, right. And at the presidential level, they may fight over who gets to be president. But on the trillions. On the wars, on the torture, on the secret arrest, the Democrats toe the line just like the Republicans, just like they have the same Secretary of Defense that Bush had, Robert Gates. So this is the same deal, and this is to signal a new era in war.
So
and
in your mind, it's meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
And to frame Pakistan.
I'm wondering where Glenn Beck fits into this. You've said that he's a government operative, and I'm wondering what agency he works for.
Well, he works for basically the right-wing foundations that cover the right wing of the control paradigm to keep folks on the reservation fighting with each other. And then there's the George Soros Ford Foundation arm that basically created the CIA. The Ford Foundation and others are on record working in clandestine operations.
CIA came out of the OSS, didn't it, after World War II?
Yes, in the 1947 National Security Act.
I mean,
look,
George Soros,
this is the same government that gave us fake WMDs.
Hungary at that time.
This is the same government that gave us fake WMD documents and told us that hydrogen blimp pumps were anthrax systems.
Alex, you're never gonna get me to
Bill
disagree
Clinton
with
cruise
you.
Missiled
that our
an aspirin factory during Monica Lewinsky.
Alex,
to divert people.
Alex, I'm agreeing with
this
you.
This is wag the dog.
I'm telling you, yes, I know our government has lied to us. The Gulf of Tonkin is one of the most notorious in my lifetime, frankly. But I'm just wondering why the 9/11 truthers would love Glenn Beck if he actually works for a government agency. And
9/11 truthers love Glenn Beck?
Okay, they don't. All right, great. In that case, give me your thoughts on William Edward Hickman becoming the role model for objectivism.
Hold on, Glenn. See, you're trying to create a partisan wedge to keep people in the partisan left-right paradigm here. Glenn Beck is a 9/12er who says we should remember the spirit the day after 9/11. Same thing Obama said Sunday night. These guys are basically pushing the same paradigm. They have fake-controlled opposition to make Obama look like he's on the left while he passes an insurance plan written by the insurance companies as socialist health care while he continues the war. Glenn Beck gives him left cover by attacking him, claiming he's on the left. Look, okay, man, I'm way past this junior high control.
I got that. William Edward Hickman, a serial murderer, 1927, cut up a little girl, threw out her body parts, you know, in the car when her father finally came to pay the ransom. As I'm sure you know, he was the role model that Ayn Rand used for her hero in The Fountainhead and in another one of her novels, and basically was her idea of the Superman, somebody who is incapable of feeling the pain of others. We're seeing this now in the Ryan budget plan.
We're seeing it right across the board,
objectivism and libertarianism.
I don't buy into all that. Chicago school, I'm not into all that.
I'm not asking if you're into it. I'm asking your thoughts on objectivism and libertarianism coming out of a sociopathic mass murderer.
Well, you can say Stalin was a leftist and killed 30 million people, or Hitler was.
No, I'm talking about Ayn Rand here. Ayn Rand wrote, letters and long.
Diversion.
I mean, she was in love with this guy.
It's a total diversion out of the fact that we can't believe anything the government tells us. They threw the body into the sea. You've got black ops, long history. I mean, private Private Lynch, that turned out Jerry Bruckheimer produced that whole thing. She hid under the truck. Then when the rest of her team said that they had killed the Iraqis.
As I said, Alex, there's a long list of times our government has lied to us. I'm not disagreeing with you about that. But I'm trying to get some answers.
All right, folks, we're out of time. And I hadn't watched this before I played it. I had just been there. You hear him fading me down the whole time on Pat Tillman and stuff? Wow. Talking about chopping up kids when I'm talking about bin Laden, trying to attribute it to me?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.